about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Mic check, 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me out there?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
The Bachelor Winter Games asked the tough question, when is the proper time for Ashley to bring up the sensitive issue of virginity? And the answer is, whenever Kevin has the biggest mouthful of salad.
I've watched dozens of videos of the chaos. In one video, you can see a helicopter circling overhead as an angry mob below chants their demands for sauce. In another, a man leaps onto the counter, pulls his shirt up over his head while jumping up and down and yells, "Where's my sauce?"
This show is a rental car that's been, you're driving it at 80, and then let's just throw it in reverse constantly.
And now,
we were listening to what was going on, the one in particular, he was early, then you had three others that probably a similar deal a little bit later, but a similar kind of a thing.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday morning, the 11th of December.
What's up, you guys?
Hello.
You know.
Hey, I guess I could have asked this off the air, but when are we Secret Santa-ing? We made the decision this year we were going to Secret Santa, just buy a gift for one person on the show?
I mean, the rest of us are, but we're still doing the Wheel of Gifts.
Oh, no.
For you,
no,
and that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. No.
The rest of us, everyone in this building, mm-hmm. Secret Santa.
Because you didn't pick one, right, Bean?
Right.
I wasn't physically there,
okay, so
Kat Corbett
picked one. Thousand!
Nope, there's never been a thousand. Woo! There never will be a thousand.
Can't wait.
We were replacing the Wheel O Amazon gift cards with Secret Santa, which I thought was great because it saves me a mortgage payment.
Right.
But, Kat Corbett actually drew for me. And I was just wondering
She's
if this was
part of it.
Well, yeah, that's
was
weird.
She was my surrogate.
You got had.
I'm sorry.
And she will not be happy with that title. I'll tell you that.
So I guess my question is, was this meant to be a before our last show of the year thing? Or is this meant to be a you send it before Christmas? Or what were the – I didn't hear the specifications on.
Again, it's the rest of us do whatever we do with mm-hmm. Secret Santa. Tomorrow we spin the wheel.
For you.
Right, for you.
Well, I guess somebody – won't be getting the awesome gift from me that I got for that.
Well, now I'm nervous. It's
thousand.
Okay, wasn't that awesome?
Oh.
Hey, the girl,
Allie.
Yes, mm-hmm. Allie. You're still down with the ghosts, right?
Yeah.
She's always been down with the ghosts.
Like totally. Way down.
No, I've got a ghost alert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you believe?
Yeah. If you're going to tell me about pirate ghosts.
No. I'm not going to tell you about pirate ghosts.
All right.
I'm going to tell you.
There are two concurrent stories.
Yes, there are two ghost stories going on right now. What was your thought on pirate ghosts? That lady was just crazy, right?
I mean, listen, sometimes it doesn't work out with your 300-year-old pirate ghost, so you break up.
It's sad.
I mean, it's sad.
If they can't make it. Who can, but
I
sounds
agree.
Very reasonable to
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Here's a mom in Britain who has a little 4-year-old daughter named Madeline, who's just cute as a button.
Or does she? Ooh.
And mom has noticed that there have been times lately where she, the little girl Madeline, has been sitting alone, chatting away in what appears to be a two-sided conversation.
Burn her. Burn her down.
In other words, she'll say something and then she'll pause as if she's listening, mm-hmm. and then she'll say something back. She's having an actual conversation. And when mom says, "Hey, Maddie, what are you up to, sweetheart?" She says she's playing with granddad.
Oh, yeah.
There have been a few other things that have gone on before this. Madeline would also tell me about a ghost that she had seen going up and down the stairs at night. She said that Grandpa sleeps in her bedroom sometimes, and that she talks to him all the time. Now, she never met her grandma.
But she can describe him perfectly, can't she?
She can.
Mm.
She never met Grandpa. He passed away when she was just 5 months old. She did meet him. She's just way too young to remember him. But now the story takes a little bit of a turn. Because one of the things that little Madeline likes to do lately is to make Snapchat videos. And
she's five?
She's four.
Oh,
so she picks up her phone and she's got a little filter, the little Harlequin filter on her cell.
Don't you tell me Grandpa's there.
and she takes a little Snapchat video, and she is talking to the phone when you hear her grandfather's voice on the tape.
Give it to me.
Here's what I need that chip. Here's what here's what Mom thinks has happened is that Madeline had heard her on the phone talking about a cheeky little bitch. So she starts to repeat that, but then pauses because she thinks she's going to get in trouble for using the B word. So she pauses, and that's when Grandpa jumps in to assist her. And here's what the tape sounds like from Mom's phone.
A cheeky little
monkey.
So Grandpa jumps in with monkey.
Can I ask for it? Can I ask for it again?
Yeah, you certainly.
Because I didn't hear monkey from him.
I want to hear it again. Now that I know.
Cheeky little
monkey.
That's monkey. That is straight up
all
monkey.
All he said was
He said monkey.
He clearly says monkey.
Yeah, I think he says monkey.
Come on,
and
Kevin.
Even if you can't make out the word, it's clearly not Madeline's voice.
No.
One more time.
A cheeky little
monkey.
While some people have been skeptical about the video, it has made the mom, Katie, a firm believer in the paranormal. She says, some people say that the voice sounds robotic and that the video is edited, but I don't even know how to do that. I used to be the same. I was so skeptical when people would tell me about their paranormal experiences, but after seeing this video and hearing my dad's voice, I really do believe it's made me much more open-minded. Okay, that one doesn't. That one doesn't work.
I'm more creeped out by a 5-year-old on Snapchat.
Yeah, that's so weird.
So let's think. What else could it be if it's not dead grandpa? Because we always say people always jump to the conclusion that it's the thing that they want to believe. But what else could it be? There's nobody else in the room. It's just her. It's clearly another voice.
It's clearly not her voice.
It's not
that's
her
weird.
Voice. So what else could it be?
Alien.
Terror situation.
Dog bark that sounds just like someone saying monkey.
Bark. Good.
Yes.
Good.
Toilet gurgle.
That's her grandpa. That's Gampy right there.
It does sound like, I know this sounds insane, but it does sound like a sound bite. I hear the dead air a little. Do you know what I mean?
You
play
hear dead
time.
Air?
Maybe somebody's
dead.
Playing it?
Well, I mean, she pauses. The mom explains that she pauses because she doesn't want to say the B word.
No, I know, but then I hear I hear a buzz when he's talking.
Oh, you think the reception should be better from the grave? Is that what you're saying? Is grandpa's not clear enough?
I think he should have more bars, yeah. I think he should have 4G.
One more time.
A cheeky little
monkey.
Do you hear the...
It does sound like they're turning it up type of thing, but I will say this. That's because of the electricity, because of his voice coming in from the other side. It all has to do with electricity.
None of us realize that.
Why are you wearing all those crystals now?
Exactly, exactly.
Where did those come from?
I have heard so many people say that they've walked in on their kid having full-blown conversations.
But that's a kid thing.
Yeah, I did that. I'm just weird.
No, but then they'll say, what were you talking to? Who you were talking to? And they'll say, grandpa. Then they'll describe the grandpa perfectly, the grandmother perfectly. They've never met, and it's creepy. Or you'll see a dog just straight up staring at a wall for an hour. Sure, some dogs are stupid, but some dogs are like hanging out talking to dead people.
Are you telling me that you're using the example of a dog staring at a wall?
That's just part of
as
it.
Proof of
I'm
the
just
beyond?
Saying that children who are not now screwed up by people telling them ghosts aren't real and dogs that are like, hey, whatever. Those entities are more receptive to the other side, just like me.
Keep going. I like to hear you talk all day about this.
Look, I know Allie's crazy, and I'll never endorse a word she says. Right. But I will tell you that I don't have another explanation for this video.
Mm.
And is it possible that it's Grandpa?
Yeah. We got Bean.
Maybe. I don't have a more reasonable explanation than that.
There's also no way to rule it out, even if you don't believe in it at all.
Yeah, there's a way to rule it out. We don't have ghosts. No one has any sort of real evidence.
Right, but you don't have evidence against either.
So?
I mean, no one comes out and goes, hey, guys, there are no ghosts. The only evidence would be no ghosts. We have no ghosts.
Well, you don't have ghosts because you don't believe and no one wants to visit you.
You didn't hear about the dog looking at the wall?
Yeah. How sad for you. How sad for you.
You probably don't have Santa Claus in your life either because you refuse to believe.
This is turning very dark.
All right. We don't have time for that. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Give me the dirt.
It's a little... too much for us. I got to be honest. We're not going to be able to handle this.
It's a lot of show.
Well, someone will cancel. Someone will be late. Someone won't show up, right?
Travis Barker will be here.
Woo!
Okay.
Monkey.
We have the top 10 sound bites, or drops as we call them.
Monkey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm hearing Grandpa.
Right?
I am too.
Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick.
Whoa.
Recognize those guys' names?
I do.
Deadpool.
Monkeys.
Once upon a Deadpool. Oh, stop saying monkeys.
Plural.
Come on, Grandpa.
Beer Mug at the Hollywood Christmas Parade.
I can't wait.
Magic.
Is it good?
Yep. Brand new internet roundup and a man by the name of Will Ferrell.
Woo!
What?
Monkey.
Join us today as well. We will take a break and we'll come back with Monkey Neck. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Quick reminder, by the way, we continue to give out passes to you to the Disneyland Resort. Check out the holidays at Disneyland, happening now through January the 6th. KROQ.com has a chance to win, and we've got it coming up at 9 a.m. this morning on KROQ, and then throughout the day at noon, 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Hey, Allie McKay, what's happening?
Hey, Bean. Well, TBS is developing Strange Times. It's based on former Blink-182 guitarist Tom DeLonge's graphic novel and book series.
What?
They're developing it as a potential adult animated show, and Tom DeLonge is set to executive produce. It's about five dirty teenage skateboarders who solve paranormal mysteries while being chased by deep state government agents. I mean, that old trope, right?
Right.
Here's Tom's quote. My love for all things paranormal and skateboarding are sometimes only superseded by my love for offensive humor. This series combines them all into one.
He's been talking for years about having deep government sources that he talks to all the
time. He's like, I'm so happy TBS bought my documentary. Like, he doesn't think this is fake.
Yeah.
He thinks this is very real.
Yeah. He launched Strange Times in 2011 as a fringe news site reporting on unexplained phenomena. And it kind of grew from there. Mostly, I think...
Did it grow?
In the noggin. Maybe
in the noggin. Little bit. Yeah. So, five dirty teenage skateboarders, right?
He should be hosting that that late night UFO show that George Norrie hosts. Should be Tom DeLonge up there going, west of the Rockies, you're on the air. Taking all those crazy conspiracy calls.
That radio show everyone
I don't know that show,
to.
But it sounds great for
me. Art Bell for years in overnights would do, where people would just call in and talk about all the craziest conspiracy theories in the world. And then he retired and George Norrie took over, and it's still on the air today. But it sounds like Tom DeLonge is angling to be the next host because he just believes anything.
Yeah. I mean, the more probably current reference would be Alex Jones, but we're dealing with a guy with a ham radio up there, so.
That's true.
Alex Jones doesn't do extraterrestrials, though.
Yes,
that's
he does.
That's what George Norrie does.
Oh, you mean more like I've been abducted or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he does think lizard people, like, run the world.
Yeah, well, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, they're turning the frogs gay.
Yeah, in the water.
Well, that's
what I heard. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was a fun little walk down a radio show no one's heard of. That was a delight.
Well, get a goddamn radio, Allie.
Is that one of the ones you have to, like, crank up? How does it work?
It's one of the ones where it's a bird sitting on a stand and the bird just repeats the things.
Okay. All right. Do I have to talk to, truckers on a CB to get it?
It's separate from that.
Okay. All right. Got it. Guys, we're going to have Will Ferrell in I think a little over an hour. But just so you know, Cord Hosenbeck and Tish Cadigan, they've returned from obviously covering the royal wedding abroad, and they are set to welcome the new year with a bang. Will Ferrell and Molly Shannon are back to host Funny or Die's 2019 Rose Parade coverage. Yay! Starting, kids love it, starting on January 1st.
Bitchin'.
Cord, of course, is a health and wellness expert, and Tish is not only a former Miss Arizona, she's also a relationship expert. So they're going to tell us all about the floats and the bands, and not at all about the floats or the bands.
Right.
And
mostly
it's
not at all.
Mostly not at all. Mm-hmm. It will be simulcast on Funny or Die's website and Twitch starting at 8 a.m., and apparently Tim Meadows will be back as well.
He's the roving correspondent talking to the crowd. I love
him. It's just good stuff, you guys. So happy to see that.
Whatever Will Ferrell is doing, I'm watching.
Well,
period.
I mean, Kurt Hosenbeck, really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And they're Golden Globe nominated.
Really? Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yeah. For their royal wedding coverage? Or for last year's Rose Parade?
I think last year's Rose Parade.
Oh, well, I don't know how you step it up.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. I like it, you guys. So, apparently, now one of the biggest rumors out there is that the Oscar host is going to be nobody.
No one's going to do
it. They're going to just have, quote, a bunch of huge celebs, something SNL style, and buzzy people to throw to commercial.
Oh, God.
That's from an insider who said buzzy people.
Yeah.
Does that mean someone selling, like, tummy tea on Instagram?
No, that's like a 95-year-old person at the Oscars being like, "Help, be buzzy."
They're
buzzy? So
outdated. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is just...
Look, I don't know that no host, though, is worse than a bad host. Sometimes a bad host ruins the whole thing.
Yeah.
At least no host.
Yeah. They're in a no-win situation in their defense.
Yeah,
I don't know who they even get at this point.
I mean, Kate McKinnon, Kumail Nanjiani.
Okay.
Both good, but I think they're stuck on this. I agree. I also think John Mulaney and Nick Kroll. I mean, there's a lot of people I think
would
be great.
I said that from the beginning. Why don't they do... As long as they don't do the Oh Hello characters.
Well, Oh Hello. So.
Good God.
But I do think... it's just they get stuck on fame. They don't see young. They don't see, it's a terrible situation. This whole thing is stupid. Also, award shows are stupid. Thanks.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
Thanks. Bitchin.
Okay. Thank you for that. All right, some birthdays for you. How about Haley Steinfeld? Huh? Bumblebee coming out. Looks good.
Very talented young actress.
A lot of yellow. A lot of yellow
that's
in those
what I'm
ads.
Looking forward with
nice. Yeah. A lot of yellow. And rapper Mos Def. And that's what's happening.
Still can't believe Will Ferrell is coming in next hour, you guys.
Well, he's not here yet. Don't jinx us.
He'll be here. Will's reliable. He'll be here.
He is reliable.
And it's Holmes and Watson. What looks better than Holmes and Watson?
I'm in, too.
Agreed.
Hey, this is the time of year where we start to reflect back on the year that was, in this case, 2018. We have something on the show called drops or sound bites, depending on which radio term you like to use. And it's the little clips of funny audio sometimes that we play throughout the show. And some of them become very popular with our listeners. We get requests for drops sometimes from people.
Bean is spectacular at working these in.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you're very sweet to say that. I definitely enjoy it. In fact, I've said many times that my goal, my radio goal, is to not have to talk anymore and just be a guy who hits buttons that plays sound bites. So every year we try to put together the top 10 sound bites that kind of represent the year that was. And I'm telling you, it was real tough this year. I mean, some of the ones that didn't make it, for instance.
Mr. Boombastic. Baby fantastic. Touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
That didn't make
that
the top 10.
That didn't make the top 10.
I want to recount.
Mean, that's how great this year was.
Wow.
This one, not on the top 10.
I'm sorry, I watched it, but
wow.
I'm asleep.
I mean, what is on this
any
list?
Any of these could have been number one.
This is a terrible list you've assembled.
I think what he's saying is it's the best list.
I'm saying it's a great list.
Let's wait and see.
And you're by right. The way, a lot of people mock our president, but we are going to miss the human soundbite machine when he's gone. I'm telling you, we're going to miss the Covfefe and the smocking gun and everything else that he does. This was one that I was in love with for like a month, but then forgot about, and I can't believe it.
It's a trap.
I mean, come on.
You.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
All right, but we did narrow it down to 10. Hit it, Steve.
Audio clips that we play on the show. Which one will be on top? No one knows. Audio clips, also known as drops. Which one will have a shot? This is Top Drops. Top Drops. This is Top Drops. This is Top Drops. Which one will be on top? Top Drops. This is Top Drops. This is Top Drops. Which one will be on top?
Top drops of 2018.
All right, this number 10, I have to give Jensen all the credit. Oh. It was a late in the year sneak in that Jensen made us aware of, and we've just all fallen in love with it.
Number 10.
That is Tim Allen. And what's the deal? That was on every episode of Home Improvement, Jensen?
Yes. Allie did a story about Tim Allen, and I went, and everyone looked at me.
We mocked you endlessly.
And I said that every episode of Home Improvement at the end of the theme song, he does that, and then we proved it.
Hmm.
And now it is, it hopefully will be in the legacy of the show forever.
Number 10. Yeah.
Here's number 9. This is what I think is going to make you guys smile when you remember little Brady that we had on the phone one day.
Number 9.
I want to see some naked dudes.
That's why I built this pool.
Remember little Brady?
Sure.
Yes.
I love it. But Chip, aren't you friends with the family now? Didn't that one go off radio?
Yep.
In real life? All right. This is a number eight, and I apologize in advance to any dogs that are listening, but I got to...
Number eight.
I mean...
Oh, he couldn't get that to stop for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And I don't think I'm exaggerating. Mm-mm. About 3 months.
It was several weeks at least, but please. I could not get it to stop, and it was driving me insane. And I heard it 24 hours a day until I finally figured it out. So I started bringing it onto the air, and so many people complained because of their poor dogs, and I apologize. This is Talk Drops. All right, let's see what's next here.
Number seven. What they do.
I love it so much.
I think that's my favorite because it's the worst that you made the best by the way you used it. Because the first time you played it, we mocked you endlessly.
Yeah, it made no sense.
And then you started using it really at well-timed places. Mm-hmm. So congrats on getting that one in the top 10.
And then yesterday, a little behind the curtain, he did admit he had been sitting on it for months.
For months. Yes. Couldn't wait to
play.
Got
a lot of stuff like that.
The OJs from around 1974, I think, from their song Backstabber. So yeah, I sat on that one for a while. Mm-hmm. All right, we continue to count down the top 10 sound bites of the year. Here's number six.
Number six.
Oh, hello.
I mean, come on.
That's my number one in my heart.
Jesse, you guys.
Caller Jesse.
Kevin, what was the story on Jesse?
You said, let's take one more call. I guarantee this is going to be a good one. We went to him, and he said that. And we just moved it into a commercial. We just said, nope, sorry.
Here's number five. I think this one also needs a warning, just like the smoke detector, because this is one of the most terrifying sounds that you've ever heard.
Number five.
Oh man!
I hate it.
Remember that video of that guy? I think he was in Alaska or something, and those lynxes were shouting at each other.
Yeah.
All right, moving on, Jensen. I think you're going to be very happy about this one too. Number four.
Number four.
Bong bong.
Yeah.
Bong, bong.
Good one.
Bong bong.
This is Talk Drops.
Now, Bong Bong is, was it RZA?
Yeah, RZA, yeah. The way he just basically says, right on, or I hear ya, is Bong Bong.
And he said it to me. I was interviewing him at Comic-Con, and I had no idea what it meant. But I knew for a fact that I should know what it meant. The way he said it, the way he delivered it, it was like, well, that's just something I missed out on.
And what I love about it is it's like aloha. It's just one of those terms that is effective in many different situations. Like, you could use Bong Bong as an exclamation. You could use it as a question. You use it anywhere.
Are you saying Bong Bong?
I'm saying Bong. No, it's Bong Bong.
Yeah, Bong Bong. Yeah.
Okay.
Here's number three. I don't think there was a piece of music that we played more than this one this year.
Number three.
Boopy dee scoop.
Sure.
Scoop dee dee whoop. Whoop dee scoop dee poop.
All time classic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Kanye is a genius, or was. I think we can all agree.
Yes. Sure.
Now that we've had a few months to reflect on Poopity Scoop, which I think was actually called "Lift Yourself" in the album, what do we think about it? Is it great or is it garbage?
I mean, it's great for the drop.
It's both.
I don't think I'll ever bump it in my car.
It's garbage that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two is going to take you back to the spring, I think. This is one of the most controversial sound bites of the year. Why are you laughing?
Don't know.
I just think it's funny that we have a controversial drop.
Right. It was very controversial. This was the drop that we got the most requests in 2018 to stop playing.
Oh, I know.
What is it, Allie?
It's Pippa.
It's Pippa. It's a little dog named Pippa in Australia who used to every day, several times a day, run down and bark at a crocodile. And one day the crocodile was fast enough to take Pippa out. And it's a horrifying piece of tape.
It cracks me up that you played it once, let alone many times.
Of and then all we started, people.
Yes, of all people.
Then we started calling back just to see maybe today's the day Pippa's going to make it. But unfortunately, she never did. And here it is.
Number two.
No.
The funniest part of that is the excitement for a half a second.
Right.
Yes. And then just disaster.
No, that is the modern day Hindenburg.
This is Talk Drops.
All right. The number one soundbite of 2018. There was never any doubt, even though a lot of other great audio came along in the year, when the Super Bowl happened last year. And we saw this in a television commercial.
Oh.
We knew it would be on our list and on our air forever.
Number one.
Nobody asked you, Kevin.
Nobody asked you, Kevin.
I mean, when I saw that, I was just like, oh, my year is going to be something.
How perfect is that? And that's the top 10 soundbites of 2018.
This is Top Drops.
The Top Drops of 2018.
Hey, Muggs just walked into the studio.
Okay, we invited Muggs to come in.
On the microphone.
Yes, yeah, Muggs ahead. Is allowed on the show.
Okay.
He's part of the team.
All right.
Beer Mug.
Yo!
The Hollywood Christmas Parade is a tradition that goes back how far, if you know?
1906. No, I have no idea.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Good start.
It definitely has been around for decades and decades. They don't do it live anymore, which is to the detriment of the program.
It's a shame. We used to love
it. So fun how bad it was live. Now they record it, and it's already happened. It airs this Friday night on TV across the country. And they get quote-unquote stars for this?
Yeah. You know, they have... They have recognizable people walk down the carpet.
Recognizable people is a step down from stars.
But, you know, sometimes you have to do research, which I do none of before
Excellent.
I roll up.
Excellent. That's a good word. But at least you show up at the Christmas parade in a great mood.
Yes.
What's up, you guys? Beer Mug here at the 8 millionth Hollywood Christmas parade. Very excited. As you can see, I'm wearing my Festive LA Dodgers Christmas sweater. Hollywood's... it's for Omar. No one else plays their f***ing bloopers, just mine.
Yeah, I'd like to remind you of moment with Kevin, moment with Dean, moment with Allie, moment with Jensen, moment with everybody. I'd like to remind you of all of the moments with where we all play all of our.
It just seems like you guys come down on me a little bit.
Does it?
Yeah.
Does it seem like that to you? Really?
A little bit.
You're the best at this.
And by best, you mean?
We honor you. And how great you are.
That means a lot. Thank you.
All right, Bean, we're going to need Muggs' original question. Was it last year at the Christmas parade? Or when was it?
Grammys? No, that was in the Grammy round. Okay. Yeah.
Muggs talked to Lou Ferrigno and asked maybe the greatest question of all time.
At the Grammy roundtable with none other than Mr. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk himself. How you doing, Lou?
Good. Good afternoon.
How has life been for you up to today?
Best question ever.
That requires a long, long, long answer.
Pretty broad, right?
Especially of a deaf guy.
So if you think that Lou Ferrigno was at the Christmas parade and Muggs avoided that question, you would be wrong because he went back.
Excellent.
And wanted to get some clarification on the worst question of all time.
The Incredible Hulk, Mr. Lou Ferrigno. How you doing, sir?
Phenomenal.
Well, you know, I'm glad you say that, Lou, because I get a lot of flack from an old interview I did with you a while ago. It was at the Grammy Roundtable, and the question I asked was a little open-ended. I asked you, how has life been up to you up till today, that day? A little bit broad, but, you know, you're a man that's been through many experiences. So, I mean...
Now, here's my thing.
Yeah, where's he going with this?
First of all, he ruined the question.
Yeah, didn't even get the original question, right?
Second of all, he's turning it around into a real question, and it works.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Being here and giving back to the public, what's the most rewarding thing for you coming out to these events?
That instant gratification I could give to the fans and the people on the parade. No.
Well, Lou, thank you guys, and Carla, thank you guys for stopping and talking to me. I know you have a whole line of press to attend, but...
But thank you for stopping by and...
Back to that question I asked you. That wasn't a bad question back at the Grammy Roundtable. I asked Lou, how has life been for him up till today?
Yes.
I mean, it's a little open-ended, but...
Did he tell you?
He said it has been great. But my coworkers give me crap for that question.
Why?
I don't know. That's
every day above ground is a good day.
So life has been great for you up until today.
I can say every day above ground is a good day because if we're not here, we're not here.
I mean, it was a journey.
Right?
But,
right? Redemption, you guys? Redemption?
Define redemption.
I mean, the fact that you couldn't get that question out not once, but twice.
But went back to it again, too, by the way.
Yeah.
To ask his wife about it.
And Mr. Ferrigno was being very kind.
So generous.
Who is Prince Max?
Prince Max.
Is that right?
Yes. Okay. He's a German prince who I had never seen until that day. But at a lot of these events, the publicists come up to you. Hey, would you like to talk to so-and-so? And sometimes I'm just like, yeah, just bring anybody you have. So that was this case.
This is Prince Max.
By the way, did you get your slips here? Because check them out. Louis Vuitton slippers, man. I mean... Oh, like fit for royalty right there, Prince Max.
Thank you. So good to meet you. What's your network?
K-Rock Radio. Oh, my name's Beer Mug.
beer mug.
And, you know, I know the German people love beer, so maybe I can come down to Oktoberfest one day.
Anytime. You're always welcome at Oktoberfest, and we're going to rock it royal.
Can I roll with you so, like, I get all, like, the VIP treatment?
Very sure you will.
Yeah.
That's a promise.
Okay. Thank you, Prince.
Servus, alles Gute.
Yes, exactly what he said.
Oh, by the way, there's no way that you're going to be rolling with him.
How sweet would that be,
and
though,
B,
Kevin?
Have you ever had a better chance to show anyone in the world your beer mug tattoo?
I totally failed.
On the top of your foot.
Well, how did I not think of that?
You have a tattoo.
I know. God, I suck.
So then, Gumby.
Gumby? Does Gumby talk?
Well, you'll hear.
Gumby, is there anything you could say about the Hollywood Christmas Parade? How excited are you to be here? You heard it from the man here himself, Gumby.
Wow, what a cool one.
Right? Well, I got to tell you, Gumby, it might make you feel good that when I was four, I had a Gumby and Pokey action figures. Unfortunately, my dog got to them.
Oh, dear.
Seems to be popular with the Golden Retrievers.
I had a little Shih Tzu and tore it to pieces, but Pokey survived. I'm sorry, bud. Well, you guys enjoy the parade. Gumby, it was very nice meeting you. Seriously, you have a special place in my heart, especially that action figure that didn't make it. So,
again, a journey.
Okay.
No, that was...
I had nothing for that interview.
Right, now, but you said...
Because he doesn't talk!
But well, you said, maybe this will make you feel better. I had a little toy of you that got destroyed. That was your maybe make you feel better moment. All right, we're running late on time. No. I would like to have you introduce Nancy O'Dell, though. Who is she from?
Nancy O'Dell got her start on like one of the most, the original variety talk shows, Access Hollywood. Now okay. She's on Entertainment Tonight.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
First of all, my high school crush, right, is standing right next to me.
Oh, really?
Miss Nancy O'Dell.
That makes me feel good and old at the same
time. No, because I was gonna say, like, what kind of, like, moisturizer are you using?
Oh,
is that what you want to hear from Mugs?
No. Whoa. No. Oh,
why?
Dear.
Why not?
Is that I hope question? You're not going to offer her some of yours.
Oh, Bean.
See, that's you, Bean.
Oh, that's not
Mugs.
Dear.
Mugs is serious.
What kind of, like, moisturizer are you using? Because you don't age.
Oh, my gosh. Can I just stand here and talk to you all night long? You're so cute. Oh, you make me feel good. He's got good moisturizer, too.
I try. Ooh. I'm sweating. Mm. I'm nervous.
Oh.
Nancy. O'Dell.
Oh, how about that?
Look at that, guys.
An actual legitimate celebrity, by the way,
yeah.
That I just talked to.
Well, I mean, a legitimate celebrity until you realize he's going to talk to Leslie the Stingray.
Oh, no.
Excuse me?
How are you?
Nice to meet you. And your name?
It's Leslie.
Leslie the Stingray.
Yeah.
All right, first question. Let's take bets.
Mm-hmm.
First question that he asked Leslie the Stingray.
What the hell are you?
Okay, Allie?
Stingray, you stung anyone?
Oh, pretty close.
Oh, no. Of Aquarium of the Pacific in Long Beach.
Yeah, absolutely.
Leslie's not the one that killed Steve Irwin, right?
Oh,
No.
Wait, I'm sorry. Yes.
No.
Yes is the answer to that, Bean.
Beer mug, you did not.
He did.
Oh, I did, yeah.
There it is again.
Leslie's not the one that killed Steve Irwin, right?
No.
Too soon? Well, we can cut that out. Sorry, Leslie. That was Leslie scared because, you know, sushi and all.
Did you know how you eat stingray? Now, I'll have some unagi and some stingray.
What's forgive happening? Me for not understanding this, but was there a guy on the red carpet holding a stingray?
No, it was their mascot, the aquarium.
Oh,
the aquarium,
costume character.
Yes.
All right, I only have time for one more, unfortunately. It's Montel Williams.
Oh,
this is another redo, right?
Okay. Another redo. The last time you sang for him, what?
This Is How We Do It by Montel Jordan.
See?
Oh, no.
Because you're being funny. So he runs into Montel Williams again.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Montel Williams, hanging out with Beer Mug from Kevin and Bean. That's who I am.
There you go.
Everybody knows who you are.
Oh, man. No, thank you.
But I want to start off real quick. I want to apologize for last year. I tried to make a really, really bad Montel Jordan joke.
Oh.
And by starting off the interview by going, this is how we do it. And you weren't having none of it. So I apologize, Mr. Williams.
He's 6'7" and a whole different world. Of, you know, we're two different worlds, but you know,
it was just me trying to be funny, and it went,
it's all right. It's all right.
Mr. Williams. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure seeing you again.
You will, absolutely.
Thank you.
And this is how we do it.
Yeah,
oh, boom. Come on,
boom.
The Beer Mug Apology Tour is a success. It wasn't even a real stingray. It couldn't have been the stingray that killed Steve Irwin. Right?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
That's unbelievable that he asked that question.
That is why we love Beer Mug.
Oh, geez.
That is why we love Beer Mug. Hey, Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
A couple things you wanted to mention up at krock.com right now before we get into this week's Internet Roundup.
Yeah, if you missed the Kevin and Bean Show's amazing interview with Billie Eilish from Acoustic Christmas, it's up there.
It doesn't have a lot of direction.
Mm-mm. No.
No.
It's not linear. So
it's not linear at all. So good luck with that one.
Yeah.
But we love her.
Yeah, she was
so
great.
So fun. Yeah.
Yeah, she's such a fun interview. And if you need something for that special someone or a friend or something, we have the Kevin and Bean gift guide.
Oh, that's right. The gift guide.
Yeah, you guys
well.
Did that. You guys picked some gifts that are pretty funny, and Jensen's $6,000 cat litter box.
Right, so. $600, but
might as well.
Same.
Yeah.
All right, that's up at krock.com, along with all the best viral videos of the week. We call it the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Yeehaw! Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
I love cats, and I know Jensen does too. Chip, not so much, because Mr. Pickles is Satan incarnate. But The one thing about cats is they love Christmas trees. And I have seen so many references this year in particular, and videos too, of cats who climb into and sit in your Christmas tree.
Why
they're outside?
Why do they
climb
that?
A tree? Because cats like to climb.
Stop it.
This poor cat gets stuck in the Christmas tree. And I am not a fan of his owners, and they are not a fan of their cat. But they do try real hard to untangle him from the lights or whatever he got himself into.
Dude, Shay is stuck in the Christmas tree.
Shay, you stupid bastard.
You piece of
look at the mess you made.
Look what you did to our lovely Christmas tree.
Shay, he's stuck by his tail.
Oh, get him out. Get him out.
I don't know how. He's...
I'm going to unplug this so we don't accidentally zolt him.
I'm so confused. I don't know how he's... What, is he stuck on the lights or what?
Well, look, okay, he's hanging on this cord right now.
I know he is, but what do we do?
I don't know.
He's stuck somehow. I don't even know how he's stuck.
All right, that's enough. That's enough of that. Look, these guys need to put down the bong,
right?
And they need to take seriously that their cat is in peril.
They're not incredibly smart. Mm-mm. I don't know if you noticed that.
The cat's fine.
I think it's worse than the bong, Bean.
And Kevin,
it's
you've
the
never,
brain and the bong.
You've never had a cat during Christmas time?
I don't have cats because I hate them.
But they're awesome because they climb up the trees and they wait for you. And then when you walk by, they'll jump out.
Oh, except for this one.
Oh, that's so fun.
Cats are dicks.
Cats are awesome.
Ugh.
Allie, I'm so happy that we have this video of this week's Roundup because I know how much you love this. You want to describe the National Lampoon Christmas Vacation decorations that made the rounds a few days ago?
Goodness gracious. So this home in Austin decided that they would have Clark Griswold, as he's hanging his lights, he falls off the ladder. Mm-hmm. So it's just him hanging from like what would be like a rain gutter. So they have a dummy that is just hanging from a rain gutter and then a ladder that's just askew. And this sweet spirit of a man, turns out he's a veteran. He stopped his car. He ran over. And it was all taken from their Ring doorbell video.
Right.
Of him trying to move the ladder. He's screaming up at the guy.
You can't tell the guy's a dummy?
He's yelling at him. He's
They're
like,
both
sir,
dummies, Kevin.
Can you feel it? Can you feel the ladder? It's near you.
So he's a good Samaritan. He's just trying to save the poor man's life. And these news anchors cannot stop cracking up over it.
Can you reach it?
The man in Austin, Texas thought this dummy was a real person. Nest cam video shows the man rush over, grab a ladder, and call for help. He even called 911. The family put up the dummy to pay homage to a Christmas scene from a movie right there.
The Griswolds,
you know, Christmas Vacation. And they are trying to find the man to give him a gift because they say his heart was in the right place. Now, he felt it.
Oh, no.
He said, can you reach it?
Can you reach it?
Oh, my God. A good Samaritan there. It's making me cry. My goodness. Oh.
You want him around if you are stuck on the roof one day. Can you reach it?
These anchors enjoyed that story.
They did, yeah.
Do you think the family was smart enough to give him a Jelly of the Month Club gift certificate for helping? What? It's a Christmas
it's
vacation.
A Christmas
it's
vacation
kind of
movie.
A big thing. In the... All right.
All right. Back in your box. And finally, James Corden did a very funny bit. You know the Ariana Grande song, Thank You Next. He assembled his own version, which is thanking Jeff Goldblum for his lifelong career in the movies. And it's very touching and very emotional. And by the way, I get people's fascination with Jeff Goldblum.
I don't. But
he is a super interesting dude. And James Corden apparently agrees. Listen to this.
I saw him in the fly, but his face was grotesque. Then he won independence from an alien mess. And in Thor Ragnarok, his performance was classic. But who could forget the hot doctor that he played in Jurassic? He taught me love, he taught me patience, he taught me pain. Jeff Goldblum's amazing.
You can see all these videos plus the DJ Earworm mashup for 2018, which is all the biggest pop hits of the year. Also, we brought you yesterday the 179 Days of Christmas if you want to see that video and a whole bunch more. Go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com at this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotchy, scotch, scotch. Here it goes down. Down into my belly.
How long that goes.
Is that Anchorman in your pocket?
It's Anchorman in my pocket, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
What a coincidence that you brought that in today.
I mean, do you wear it every
day? I swear to God, I carry it in my bag. I've had it with me for years. I don't know why. Well, the genius behind Ron Burgundy, Mr. Will Ferrell himself of the upcoming Holmes and Watson, is in the next room, you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. He'll be joining us coming up right after Allie's look at what's happening here on this Tuesday morning.
You guys, if you've been trying to get a hold of Chance the Rapper and he hasn't been responding, there's a very good reason.
I know that feeling.
All right.
Very good reason. He announced on Instagram that he's going on sabbatical so he can get closer to God. He said, I'm on a plane headed out of the country. I'm going to be away to learn the word of God, which I am admittedly very unfamiliar with. He says he's taking it upon himself to study the Bible in full and is starting off with the first five or more books.
I'm sorry, did you say in full?
In full. Yeah. He hopes to pass along his knowledge to the next generation of Bennett men. And he also plans on giving up smoking during his time away. And since the announcement, he's been posting passages from the Bible and images of his daughter at what appears to be a very secluded sanctuary. And nobody knows how long the sabbatical will last, but he has a show on Thursday the 20th. So I think, do you just leave a sabbatical for a show?
I don't know if that's an acceptable reason to cancel a show.
I'm learning the Bible. Get
right?
off me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or maybe it's just a super crash course.
Right.
Like just a week and a half. And he's like, what? Deuteronomy. Ask me anything.
Yeah. Like Bible for dummies.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
That is strange. You don't see that often.
You do not. You guys, we all remember the Fyre Festival.
Sure.
Got all those people to pay big money to go down to the Bahamas, and then turned out you were sleeping in what looked like a tent with nothing in it. There were just sandwiches with a slice of cheese on it. No
I heard
real
it was
bathrooms.
Supposed to be in first class accommodations and food.
It was supposed to be amazing. And then, you know, everyone got there and it was just a horrible situation. And then we found out that Hulu was going to do a docuseries on the festival. No release date on that. And then Seth Rogen and Lonely Island were planning a film that kind of follows the same storyline as the Fyre Festival. And now the Fyre Festival, it just appears it's the gift that keeps on giving because
More?
Netflix announced yesterday that they have a show, I guess, a documentary that will be released on January 18th on Netflix about the Fyre Festival. How do we need that much?
No.
I don't feel like it.
But look.
It was just 100% scam, right?
Here's the thing about Netflix. Yeah. If anyone has any idea of anything they can put on their channel, they say yes to it.
Yeah, you're right.
And they fund
true.
It.
Yeah, you are correct. Guys, remember when Post Malone did that collaboration with Crocs? And we all missed out. We were too late. They sold out in a second.
No, I had been waiting in line for days.
And I said to myself, I will not let this happen again. By God, I will be aware. So I put a Google alert.
Okay.
So I now know everything Post Malone is up to.
Great.
Well, you sound always tired.
Always tired. Post Malone and Crocs have teamed up for a second collaboration. The barbed wire clog features the brand's iconic classic clog in yellow with barbed wire and six unique gibbets charms. Six unique
What language is Ali speaking
charms?
I don't know what she's saying.
Well, you're the shoe head. Jensen, please translate
no,
for
No, the
me.
Last well, time I did yeah. this story, it's just the things that you put in the holes. What? The little charms that you put in the holes, and they tend to be like Post Malone type stuff.
Okay.
Well, yeah, they're like a charm bracelet, yeah. but on your shoe.
But on your shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that dumb or is that cool?
Oh, no, it's definitely dumb.
Okay. I'll tell you this. They go on sale today, starting at 11 a.m.
Well, how are you not in line already?
For $60 at Crocs.com or at select Crocs retail stores. These will sell out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So if Post Malone were not involved, would any of the people who are going to buy these ever wear Crocs under any other circumstance?
No.
Okay.
No.
No.
Crocs are awful, guys. Come on.
Well, I warn them.
I'm taking a stance.
I have some.
I know they're very comfortable, right? They're comfy?
Yeah.
But they're not
super
like,
comfy.
Yeah, but you're not like fashionable. You shouldn't
oh,
be,
God, no.
Yeah, you shouldn't be waiting in line for Crocs.
No.
I mean, who's to say? I mean, I don't know if you heard me say it has six unique gibbets charms.
The way you say gibbets is disturbing.
It is
really?
Odd.
Why?
That's what disturb means.
Gibbets.
We can't figure
say
it out.
Say it again.
Gibbets.
I don't know.
It's gibbets charms.
Why?
Are you hearing, like, the B is a Z?
Also the zh, the lead up.
Oh, it's the zh and the b.
Ugh.
All right.
It's my moist.
Guys, is this better than letting Will Ferrell
yeah,
in?
Yeah, let's get out of here. happy birthday, Most Evan Haley Steinfeld, and that's what's happening.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotch is scotch, scotch. Here it goes down into my belly.
You've got the Anchorman in your pocket. We've got the real Anchorman right here in the studio. Will
that
Ferrell
is so impressive. I've had it for years. I don't know
that
why.
That is so impressive.
I carry it with me everywhere
in
I go.
The plastic packaging.
Yeah, of course. I wouldn't want to take all of the worth out of it. But
I was going to put that on eBay. Those are the type of things that are usually called, you know, collector's items.
Correct, exactly.
Sure. But that has no value. That's actually lost value.
I have to pay someone to take
yep,
it?
Yep, oh, pretty much. Sucks.
Will Ferrell, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
I Very am happy fantastic.
To have Very happy to have you.
Great to be here in your guys' shiny new studios
mm-hmm.
with the massive floodlights.
The lights are too bright. Agreed. That's because we're videoing this. Go ahead.
Radio is now TV. TV is now radio mm-hmm. in today's media world.
Sure.
Thank you. I'll see you guys.
Thanks for dropping that pearl of wisdom.
That's the last thing he said.
And then he just walked out
into an open elevator shaft and plummeted to his death.
You were a fan of our other place, though, right?
Yeah, you visited the old building, the Janky Building, right?
I kind of had a soft spot for
Did
the,
you?
The weird. It was like a set in a Scooby-Doo episode, you know? The haunted bunker.
It was Dark. A dump. But it was our dump.
With huge fencing, if I recall. Like
there was
12
huge
foot
fencing. Yeah. As if anyone would ever want to get in.
No windows.
Nope. That was right. to keep us from leaving, by the way, that fencing. So we couldn't get out.
I believe there were armed guards with dogs, teams of
sure.
trained dogs.
Sure.
Yeah.
Snipers.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was rough. It was
yeah.
rough.
Yeah.
So, Will, how's your 2018 been?
2018.
This year.
That's the year we're in now, yeah.
Yes. It's been good. Yeah.
I feel like you work too much.
No,
like,
I don't.
Really?
Not this year.
Okay.
This year I really didn't work that much. Next year, look out.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Every day?
Every day. I will work every day.
No breaks.
That's just my motto. I've got
sure.
it on the mirror in my bathroom. Work every day.
Sure.
I can't complain. I have a great life, beautiful family. I'm working out.
You're working out.
Yeah. I get to go to Kings games.
Yeah, I saw you at a Kings game.
I saw Kevin
by
at
the way,
Kings
this
game.
Is weird because I saw Will at a
and,
Kings
and I told you I would come on the show.
And I said, hey, why don't you come in and promote Sherlock Holmes? And he's like, okay. Yeah. And I thought,
right.
Of course, like, we're in Hollywood, so yeah, of course he means it.
Right.
He means well, but when it comes around to the morning, he's going to have something else to do.
And you said, I get it, we'll have to call you. And,
I did say that. That's
and true. Then I told my assistant, let's get in touch with K-Rock.
That's
and
correct.
Here we are.
That's correct.
And
I was wrong.
If you recall, the Kings have won every single game since that day, that night we met.
Well, I'm not possible.
They are
I don't
on
think that's
fire.
I don't, I'm not sure
go
that's true.
Kings, go.
Go.
Go, Kings, go. 23 points. Tied for last in the league. Go, Kings, go.
I mean, it's not been great, if that's what you're saying.
Do you go to a lot of games, Will?
I go to as many as I can. I'm a season ticket holder, a proud season ticket holder. But it's a lot. 41 home games.
That's a lot of games. It's a lot. How did you become a sports team co-owner this year, 2018? How did that happen?
You know, there is someone I knew who's one of the main owners, who's a father at one of my kids' schools, and we would talk soccer or football, as they say, and just, you know, around the yard. And he was part of this ownership group and had sent me an email and said, there's this opportunity. Would you want to be involved? And I thought, that sounds like fun. So,
and then did you say only if there's a Falcon?
Right.
Only if I can hold
a Falcon?
That was in his original draw.
That was one of the stipulations. Yeah.
Understood.
Not specifically a Falcon, some sort of bird of prey.
Sure.
I was hoping for a California condor, but they are very endangered.
Sure.
And so Falcon will do.
Sure.
It'll do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us about that day. Because
which was amazing.
You must have been frightened.
So that's for those listeners out there who have not been to an LAFC football game. The tradition is that you bring someone out who gets to you don't really hold the Falcon.
It's
the
like
Falcon,
holster. You're
yeah,
like,
yeah,
it
sits
sitting
on your glove.
Arm.
Ollie
yeah.
the Falcon.
Ollie.
And at a certain point, Ollie will fly and then fly around the stadium and do all these amazing dives and swoops and then land on an emblem of the opposing team.
Okay.
And I thought it was like, oh, that's going to be so cool. They're going to rip it to shreds. And it's going to be filled with, like, rabbit meat. And they're just going to, you know, it'll be an emblem of Real Salt Lake City. And just tear it to bits. And the crowd, you know, like the, you know, Roman Gladiator, the Colosseum will go nuts. And so, anyway, I hold Ollie, which he won't leave my glove. The leather glove that he's perched on.
Did it seem like forever?
It seemed like forever.
Yeah.
It was a good... It felt like 10 minutes. I think it was like... But I think it was a good 45 seconds. And I keep whispering back to the handler, like, what do I do? What do I do? He's like, you're doing great.
And everybody's watching you.
Everyone's watching. Uh-huh. Sold out stadium. You're doing great. You're doing great.
Did you at some point say, when will
I
it?
I know. What do I do? I just, do I give
push
it a,
it?
Do it,
yeah.
Give it a little shove? Do I scream at it?
Blowing its ear.
Finally, Ollie took his own cue and
took off
and then flew around the stadium very dramatically and then very gently landed on the emblem of the opposing team. Did not rip it to shreds.
No rabbit meat?
No rabbit meat. Just landed on it and, tepid applause.
Hardly worth the trip.
But that's the new thing. So every LAFC game, we have to find someone to.
And do they ask you again? And you go, you know, I did it.
No, I'll do it every week.
You'll do it every week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's my life.
It's not your life.
That's my life. That's my life.
Not next.
That's why you weren't able to work this year.
You said that's my life.
It's who I am.
Do you know how many man hours I spend taking care of that Falcon?
Excuse me. It's yours now?
It's now mine.
Oh, wow.
It's
your house.
I'm not equipped to take care of a Falcon.
Do you enjoy being part of that ownership group, though? Does it keep you up at night?
Is it
a money loser?
Well, I think I invested the bare minimum to be a part of the club.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're doing okay.
So, yeah, I'm doing fine. And it was, it was actually a thrilling experience to, the team did well and, everyone seemed to have a great time. It was it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
I mean, were you at the game where LAFC played the Galaxy?
Oh, dear.
When Ibra showed up in that? Did you see that
those
game?
Those games don't count.
Because it seems like LAFC was up 3-0.
They were.
And then Zlatan Ibrahimovic scored.
Yes.
And then the Galaxy won 4-3. Were you there?
I feel like this just got personal, Kevin.
I'm asking him if he was there. That's all.
Unleash the Falcons!
Oh, my God. I wish I had 20 Falcons I could just command
to attack.
Like, Aquaman would fish at me with Falcons,
right?
To descend upon Kevin.
How often do you get a chance to mock an owner of a team at the Galaxy?
Really,
very
seldom. Very seldom. No, that was I will have to say a spectacular.
It was
game, but horrible.
Not season.
For, yes. Yes. But not correct. For LAFC. Yeah.
Will Ferrell is our guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have many things to discuss, including Holmes and Watson, which is his latest film with his good friend John C. Reilly. That opens in theaters everywhere on Christmas. Quick break. Back with Will right after this on KFC. Some guy named Will Ferrell in studio with us now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's a little-known actor.
High energy.
Starting to make a name for himself. Starting to see him in some things. You're starting to recognize him now when he comes on the screen. Well, this time of year, you get a lot of elf love out on the streets.
There is, it grows exponentially each year. I don't know how it does, but my mother just texted me photos of, she was walking through the Gap, her local Gap, and there was just elf t-shirts, elf paraphernalia that I have no idea that's being produced.
Excellent.
And guess how much money I'm making off of that? Zero.
Zero.
Yes.
Multi-million dollar lawsuit? your mom's your lawyer?
I want to announce that now that we are filing suit against Time Warner, and my mother will be representing us.
It's taking the place of, like, Christmas Story.
It has become the greatest Christmas movie of all time for the modern generation.
It's very flattering. It's still... people are always surprised because I still chuckle when it's brought up to me because I literally thought it was the end of my career when I was running around in an elf suit.
Is that true?
In the streets of New York. There was just a moment. I'd just come off of Saturday Night Live, which, you know.
Was successful.
Was successful. Yeah. And I was known for doing edgier humor. And, you know, of course, there were sketches like the cheerleaders and things like that that were more poppy, if you will. But... and so I just remember thinking, oh, a man dressed as an elf, raised by elves.
This is it for me. A man-child, really.
It was just like, this is either really going to work or people are going to go, oh, I remember you. Why did you do that one? And lo and behold, it's just, you know, one of those things where it all comes together. And
isn't that amazing?
Jon Favreau did a great job.
And the whole cast was incredible. And being able to work with, you know, Ed Asner and Bob Newhart.
Absolutely.
And people like that.
Peter
Dinklage.
One of the better stories. Exactly. Peter Dinklage. One of the best stories was at the premiere, James Caan coming up to me is like, I got to tell you something. I thought every day we filmed, you were way too over the top. And now I see it up on the big screen. Wonderful job. Well, but based this weird backhanded compliment of
that's strange.
I thought you were terrible
every day
I worked with you, and now I see I see what you were doing. You know,
do you think
sweet,
he had the same feeling in his mind, which was
know.
This
yeah.
is where James Caan dies?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't know, but. But that's just you know, all the planets aligned.
But everybody always gives you this compliment, Will, that you are a guy who commits.
Too handsome?
I haven't heard that one.
Okay,
you,
never mind.
You are a guy who commits completely to the character.
Yes.
And that's what you did with Buddy. You said, look, I'm not going to half-ass Buddy the Elf. If Buddy the Elf is a fish out of water in New York, that's how I'm going
to
play it.
He had to be a complete innocent. And you know, when we were rewriting the script, that's how I came up with the joke. You know, the cafe that says world's best coffee or whatever it was. And I was like, you know, it has to be like he has to literally believe that they have the world's best coffee. Let's go try it. Why would they say it, you know, if they don't? And so it was a wonderful opportunity to kind of look at the things that we consider mundane you know, experience them through his eyes.
It has to be weird, too, to just watch every year as it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
There's a massive billboard on Sunset that's brand new that's an advertisement for AMC's, like, holidays movies.
Right.
And it's just a massive picture of Buddy the Elf.
Oh, Buddy the Elf.
Yeah, screaming. So,
how many calories
they were added to the lawsuit?
Oh, no.
As well.
Yeah, yeah, bring it yeah.
Mom, I hope you're listening and taking notes.
How many calories were in that that spaghetti dinner?
That was a low... That
with
was
the syrup and everything else?
A hypoglycemic meal. Wait, does hypo mean less or more?
I'm not positive.
I don't know either.
I think it means... I don't know.
Yeah, there was a... There was a
it was Pop-Tarts. What was it? It was Pop-Tarts.
It was spaghetti. It was maple syrup. It was M&Ms, I believe.
And you were eating that for real,
and there was
real,
a
Will.
Massive spit bucket next to me.
Right, yeah, there's no faking the table. That.
Yeah.
No faking that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Oh, that brought the room down. Spit bucket. Bring in the spit bucket. You guys have spit buckets here in the studio,
yeah,
don't
yeah.
you?
Just in case. Spit, for sure.
We
yeah.
took them out for you.
Is Ron Burgundy your favorite character you've ever played?
He may very well be. Yeah. Yeah. Good old Ron
may
Burgundy.
Well be.
Yeah, I think...
Because you kind of kept him alive with various charity appearances
yeah,
and whatnot.
And
now
we're
you're starting that podcast.
We're starting the podcast. So, right. yeah, it's a very fun thing. You can kind of pick up where you left off with Ron. He's kind of applicable in any sort of situation. But, yeah, that's another story that is kind of one of those things where you're kicking around an idea and you write a script and, 15 studios say no.
Is that true?
Yeah, yeah. And we had one studios. Day where I think it was like 12 different either studios or financiers all gave us no's, and
that's unbelievable.
Wow. We were it like, we were trying to explain. In fact, we had a read through for I forget what the name of the company was, and we actually had I forget who we actually had John C. Reilly at the time read the Champ Kind part, which was ultimately played by David Koechner, and we had this read through where the financier comes up, he's wiping tears out of his eyes, like, that is the best, funniest read through I've ever been through. Oh my gosh, we will never make the movie. And we're like, wait, why? He's like, I can't sell it. It's a comedy about the news. Yeah.
Can't sell it.
Yeah. So, well, we were
what do you have to do for someone if they're crying laughing to get them to take your
yes.
project?
It just took, it took Old School coming out being a hit, and that forced DreamWorks, who owned the script at that time, to all of a sudden say,
wow,
wait, we'll now make this.
Are there other things sitting around like that for you? Like projects that you've been waiting for in that way still? Or do those, you've made all of those?
Aquaman. I have an Aquaman.
You do?
Yeah, wow. I got bad news.
What?
Wow.
What?
There's an Aquaman movie out.
No.
Yeah.
Coming out? They started filming?
I think it comes out already, next week.
Like next week?
Yes.
I think so. Yeah.
I think you can get it done.
Right.
Work every day.
Come on.
Work every day. I'm miming brushing my teeth, by the way.
Doesn't work on radio, but thank you for explaining.
Right here, Will.
Right there on the camera. Yes, it does.
Yes.
Is there a dream actor project that you still want to do?
Oh, Deadly Adoption 2.
Thank you for bringing up Deadly Adoption.
You're welcome. I loved it.
Lifetime movie, Deadly Adoption, starring myself and Kristen Wiig.
Amazing.
Done earnestly.
And
done
people earnestly. Watched it and were so mad.
So mad.
And it brought me
such joy.
Why were
they mad?
Joy.
Because they expected it to be funny?
Yeah, they were like waiting for a joke for an hour and a half.
I see. Okay.
I mean, it was terrifying.
There were two amazing simultaneous reviews. One in Rolling Stone, who totally got what we were doing. And because we had this idea to shoot a Lifetime movie, just
straight
ahead, but starring comedic actors.
Right. And why, Will? Can you give us the facts?
Just strange. Just being a fan of Lifetime movies, going, it'd be fun to star in a Lifetime movie.
Okay.
And for the same reason I did a movie entirely in Spanish, too.
I was going to ask you about that, too.
Same sort of weird thought process. So, so we write the script. We have actors who come to the set. They have to sign NDAs. They can't talk about... and the crew played it straight. So I would do a scene with an actor, and they'd be like, pull me aside and go, Can I ask you a question? What's going on with this? Is this supposed to be funny? Is this supposed to be serious? I'm like, it's just a change of pace. I just really responded to the material. And it's the most... And they slowly... And this one guy was like, I don't buy it. Anyway. All right. Let's take it again from the top. So we just shoot it totally straight. And so these two reviews came out. One in Rolling Stone, which totally got what we were doing from a satirical standpoint, and then another from the New York Times, who was like, I cannot figure this out. Because if it's supposed to be real, Kristen Wiig has some acting chops. Will Ferrell does not. Like, and if it's a comedy, it's not that funny. Are we supposed to laugh? And it was just like, I need to get both of them and frame them side by side. But
is that still in rotation on Lifetime? Could we come across?
You know what? I literally, we were so strict on how many times they could use it that it's actually worked to our detriment. So we're now talking to them again to try to. I want to
have to try to get it restarted.
I want. It's weird.
Where are they
try,
now?
Well, I want to try to, like, if they could do a thing like every Valentine's Day, Deadly Adoption on Lifetime, and so we're trying to see if we can get it back into their rotation.
Because right. Good luck with that.
Thank you. That's what I'm working on.
I mean, that seems tough.
Work every day.
Will Ferrell is here. We need to take a break, and we still haven't talked about Holmes and Watson.
Oh, we got to talk about Holmes and Watson.
We'll do that in a second.
Or we don't have to.
No, we'll talk about it when we get back.
Great. Yeah, let's do it.
We're having the time of our lives with our friend Will Ferrell here on the Kevin DeBean Show. By the way, next hour, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick are going to be here, writers of Deadpool. Of
why would you start promoting another movie, Bean? We haven't even talked about it.
I'm just telling ahead of what we have coming up on the show.
He was singing The Righteous Brothers.
He was.
I'm sorry. I'm
Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
Go ahead. No, I've had the time of my life.
And Travis Barker will be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. All that straight ahead. Well, this is our last segment, so we have a lot to cram in.
including
about your new film. But one of the things that we have been talking about on the show as the Oscars have continued to struggle to find a host for next year's ceremony.
Yes.
We said you and John C. Reilly are the perfect choice to host the Academy Awards. What say you?
This timing could not be more perfect.
Okay.
Because we're doing it.
Yeah! Exclusive.
Here we are.
Kevin and Bean. You heard it here.
Somehow it seems like you just made that up.
I did. I just made it. I know, you know, the Oscars are in a bit of a pickle right now because it is a, truth be told, somewhat thankless thing to host. And, you know, the upside is basically this, like, oh, they'll be funny. They were okay.
And that's the upside.
That's the best case. And it just, you know, it's a lot of work. You start 2 months out.
Mm-hmm.
You got to work on all this stuff. And then there's so much pressure. And, you know, so I'm
going to take that as a yes.
You sound all in. I would love to. I pitched them one time a scenario. In fact, it was a similar situation. It was the year when Eddie Murphy dropped out. And they had asked, sniffed around if I would possibly do it. And I was shooting a movie with Zach Galifianakis, and I asked Zach if he'd be up for this. That I said, we will do it. We pitched it to them that we will do it under the premise that your advertising is that you can't find a host. You can't find a host.
Okay.
And that we don't know who the host is. We don't know. And then curtain comes up, and it's Zach and I dropped into the Oscars, but we don't know what camera we're on. We're ill-rehearsed.
Love it.
It's too good for them.
And the show is a debacle. And they kind of giggled, and they were like, but we have to tape promos. We can't. They're very conventional in their thinking, and they kind of have to break out of that.
Well, their loss, for sure.
All right, let's talk about your new movie, Holmes and Watson. This is the New York Times first line. Man children are something of a specialty for both Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
Thank you, New York Times. As I wet my diaper.
Tell us about this movie.
John and I, of course, playing arguably the most iconic figures in English literature.
Sure.
Running around the streets of London in full Victorian costume, doing British accents with an all-British cast, and we had the best time you could possibly imagine. Messing around with this, you know, with these characters and this story in a comedic way. And just every day we're, you know, we're like, how did we get to play these guys? Let's
your man children. Is
let's
your
hurry.
Let's hurry before they realize
they realize what they've done. You know, it was great, and it's you know, I think it's obviously one of the few outright comedies coming out this holiday season.
Yeah.
And it's just very. I think I would say it's very Mel Brooksian in the way we've done this.
Wow, so, that's a so, high compliment.
Yeah. So it's
high compliment he gave himself.
Yeah. I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it's great fun.
I want you and John C. Reilly to be actual best friends in real life. Is that possible?
That is. That's actually pretty close.
Have you roller skated buddies. With him?
He loves a good roller skate workout. So he in London he would give me call. He would say I'm going roller skating from 2 to 4.
And you would say I'll meet you there.
I didn't. But we went on some lovely
once?
Walks. And,
but once you didn't roller skate?
I just was like,
once?
Where are we going to roller skate? But he would find a place two hours outside of London. Like an abandoned roller rink. Yeah.
Abandoned.
Yeah.
He would break in.
Just sticks everywhere.
With a crowbar. Yeah.
Will, did you ignore all previous incarnations of Sherlock Holmes? Like
pretty
Benedict Cumberbatch,
much.
His universe doesn't exist in your movie, right?
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. We kind of took every license we could to just mess around with all of that. I mean, in terms of the actual performance and style, I studied a lot of Jeremy Brett, who did the old BBC versions, and he kind of has this amazing cadence to the way he would deliver information where he'd all of a sudden be talking, and then he'd be screaming at you! And for no reason. And
I'd like to hear that in your British accent.
And then he would be screaming at you.
There you go.
Look at that.
Yeah, wow. Pretty good. That's, you sold a ticket right
that's
there.
That's worth $18. Right. How much are tickets? 12? Depending on your region.
18.
Yeah, depends where you go and what time of day. Right.
Yeah, right.
When you and John are together or even interviewed separately,
right.
You cannot avoid stepbrothers questions.
No, it's unavoidable.
That's another one like Elf we talked about earlier, where stepbrothers gets bigger and bigger every year, and people demand that you do another one. Why?
In fact,
it's awesome.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. I know they demand. They forcefully demand.
Uh-huh.
To the point of violence and aggression.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, like riots.
That's why I have a bodyguard.
Is that not the way to go?
That's not the way. It's usually not the way to go.
Okay, not the way to go.
Yeah, I know. It's once again, very, you know, nice to be in that position. I know. We don't have plans for a sequel.
What would you say is the most quoted movie or the most quoted line that people give to you?
Most quoted movie...
of yours. I'm sorry.
Of all time?
Yeah. I don't want you to
probably Gone with the Wind. Frankly, I don't give a damn.
Okay.
Right?
Yelling
at my ear, I believe.
Yep.
But go ahead.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what people scream at you on the street. Because I would scream something about a glass case of emotion if I read you on the street. Mm-hmm.
It's very cyclical. Yeah. I've had everything, you know, there's a lot of Ricky Bobby quotes.
Yes.
Sure. There's a lot of, there used to be a lot of old school, let's go streaking.
Mm-hmm.
I own a Dodge Stratus. Anyone yelling?
No, but that's high praise.
That would be mine.
That's high praise. Thank you.
Yeah, that would
thank
be mine
you.
You. You're welcome.
Yes. So it just depends. Yeah. It just depends.
Here's a text. This is from Christy and Jason from the 714. I need Will to get back to work next year. My husband and I speak only in quotes from semi-pro, kicking and screaming, old school, Anchorman, and Step Brothers. We've reached a point where some people we are surrounded by don't even know what the hell we're talking about.
It's a sad place to be,
but we need more.
Yeah.
Will, you must not be able to go anywhere without someone screaming, Mom, the meatloaf!
The meatloaf, right.
The absolute best movie of all time is The Campaign, she says.
Oh, that's the movie I was shooting with Zach.
Oh, with the Oscars. Oh,
that's right. Thing. Yeah.
Which was a political comedy, which we thought was so outlandish, and now it pales in comparison with what's happening.
Speaking of politics.
By the way, Steph Curry dressed as Jackie Moon. After he scored 50 points.
Oh, wow.
Really?
How about that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That jersey is like people wear it as just a fashion
Work
thing.
Every day.
That's very cool.
okay.
Speaking of politics, before we run out of time, your good friend Adam McKay has this this Dick Cheney movie coming out.
Right.
Called Vice. You've seen it?
I have. Yeah.
I saw it too.
Yeah. How do you rate Sam Rockwell's George W. Bush versus your George W. Bush, which was a great classic character that you even took to Broadway?
Can I? He's okay. He's okay. Yeah. No, he did his best.
If he could have done better, he would have.
Adam and I talked about that because Sam, I know Sam a little bit, and he's a great actor, but he also takes it very seriously. And I guess he was tormented by the fact that he couldn't get my impersonation out of his head. So he tried, and he said the more, he said it, he was very complimentary. He said at first glance, you just think of it as funny. But then you watch the real tape on George W. and then you watch what I did, and he's like, it's very close to the way he really is, and I can't get out of it. So he actually found his own version, and he's awesome.
That movie's incredible.
Yeah, it's an incredible
when
movie.
When does that one come out? When does Vice come out?
Christmas Day.
Christmas Day along with same Holmes. As Holmes and Watson.
Oh. So it's a double feature.
Oh. It's on!
Whoa!
Did I Who's just gonna blow win? Your mind?
Are you losing a friend? Is this big news?
Two different types of movies.
Okay.
I say double feature, you guys. Who's with me, right?
Double feature. What else do you have going on?
Great. Bring the family to Vice and then take your wife to Holmes and Watson.
Or
the other way around. Sorry.
I think it's the other way around.
You have been very generous with your time, not only today, but throughout the years. You know, we've reminisced with you in the past about how far back we go with you, all the way back to the very early 90s. So
to Kokomo's in Irvine.
Yep.
That's so embarrassing that you went there.
It is.
Bea and I were doing an event there, and Will showed up.
Aww.
And I think that's the place we got busted for peeing in the bushes.
It is. We did. We almost got arrested
Will was
that
inside,
night.
And we were almost getting arrested outside.
But we're true to your word to come in today, and we can't thank you enough. And we wish you and your family the very best for the holidays.
Always a pleasure.
Keep in touch, for real.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bye-bye. Guys.
Thank you. Well, it's a shame that Will Ferrell was our last guest today because it went so well. I would hope to have more, but I guess
actually,
not.
Kevin, actually, we got plenty more to come because Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, creators of Deadpool, are going to be here in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock.
All right.
That would be enough. Yeah.
That's a great show Will Ferrell and those guys?
Travis Barker stops by at 9 a.m. to talk Musink and so much more. So it's a very, very heavy day here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In fact, I say we take tomorrow off.
Okay.
I'm in.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do it.
Not hard to get Kevin in on that one.
No. Jeez.
I took half of yesterday.
Yeah, actually left.
Unfortunately, Allie's here too, and it's time for What's Happening.
Wow. Why are you like Jesus?
Hey, what's up?
I mean,
on top of all that other great stuff, Allie also is here with What's Happening.
Jeez.
Asshole.
Just as great.
Honestly, you are such a dick.
Just had three great segments with Will Ferrell, and then
now
he follows
I know,
up with that.
Now I know why when I was taking a picture with Will, he whispered, I hate Bean. Do you hate Bean? Yeah. And I'm like, I do.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Amen. You guys, when you wake up, do you immediately have coffee?
No.
No.
I'm not a coffee person.
I've only had real coffee, meaning like hot from a machine, once in my entire life.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I've had like lattes and basically desserts that are coffee. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I have those.
Regular coffee?
Okay.
One time in my life.
Do I work with three non-coffee drinkers?
It's odd because we have an early job,
morning
too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I drink hot tea in the morning, but I'm a tremendous coffee drinker the rest of the day. I love coffee.
The rest of the day?
You decide later at night?
I don't know. I have tea in the morning and tea at night and coffee in between.
Hmm. Okay. Well, a new
I have
study...
coffee if I'm desperate, by the
really?
Way. If I come in and I'm desperate.
Oh, it's like I'll do Red Bull over coffee even.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is so interesting
to me. It
tastes
like burnt chocolate to me. I don't know. I don't have the acquired taste.
Okay. Yeah.
Why do you bring it up, Allie?
Well, I bring it up because a new study finds that the best time to drink coffee isn't necessarily in the morning. Scientists say that this is because when you first wake up, your body's production of the stress hormone cortisol is at one of its three daily peaks. So when you consume caffeine while your body is at peak cortisol production, it teaches your body to release less of it, which isn't good because that's essentially what keeps you alert.
Oh.
So by drinking coffee, you're suppressing the thing in you that basically makes you alert.
What I like about Starbucks coffee is I like the vanilla burst.
I understand. instead, you should wait until you've been awake for about an hour before having that first cup.
Huh.
This is shaking me to my core.
Wow.
You guys don't seem to care.
A couple of months from now, another study is going to come out and says just the opposite, though. So
right, mainline coffee in
right.
your sleep.
You can believe.
That's when it's most helpful.
Damn good coffee.
Excellent. Guys, Katy Perry, she's going to be featured as multiple playable avatars in the Final Fantasy Brave Exvius mobile game. That starts December 12th for a limited time. They have it.
Oh, hey, Katy Perry. You go, girl. It's in the game. That's how the game starts.
In a teaser clip, she starts her day getting ready for a big performance. She uses her phone. She's snapping selfies of herself, pictures of her dog,
Final
Nugget.
Fantasy?
Then she turns into pixelated game character. What?
You're sure these selfies she was snapping were of herself?
I said snapping selfies of herself and then of her dog, Nugget. God, Bean, honestly.
I was just checking. These 90s boy
asshole.
Bands were from the 90s?
From the 90s, yeah.
It's all right, Allie. We all like you.
Allie,
I do, too.
Allie, it's fine.
Of ISIS. It's just the founder of ISIS.
I am not.
No, no. Allie, it's just the bad man is.
It's oh. fine. You're gonna. It's
you're all good.
He's ruining the vibe. We did really well with Will Ferrell. He doesn't want it to be very positive in here.
Is that what it was? We were on such a high. He's like, let me bring it down, making it more about me.
He's our captor. He's like, it's like Saw.
He's our captor.
You know what I mean? Like, he's watching us from afar, and he sees that we're really happy, and he needs to bring us back by, like, handcuffing us to a fridge.
Wow.
I've never heard a more accurate description of my role on the show.
That's
correct.
I mean, it's very visual, too.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. You're just a dick. Hey, guys. I love when I read an article that says Mel B was taken to a hospital with broken ribs, severed hand.
Severed hand?
That's
I saw
what
that.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
So
how do you not lead with that rather than. Sorry, go ahead.
And our drummer died.
Kevin's like, why'd you leave with the stupid coffee story and then Katy Perry? And then you realize you were being mean again. Like,
this is a tough break, guys.
It is. It really is.
I'm sorry, Allie.
Hey,
tell
you guys.
Tell us that story. That's a fascinating story that I would love to hear.
Well, she needed hours of surgery after a nasty accident. She wound up thanking nurses, saying, suffering two broken ribs and a severed right hand needing emergency care, to having to have three-hour surgery to repair the damage, hence the purple sling. And then pictures show her hand. It wasn't actually cut off. It wasn't really severed at all.
Doesn't the word severed just mean one thing?
Yes. I think it means it was gone, and she carried that hand in her other hand and said, please reattach
it. That's what it means.
Yes. Not at all what it means in this article,
even though they mention
it three times as severed.
What did she have, like, a hangnail? I don't understand. What did she get?
It was over a three-hour surgery.
Maybe she had them put back on. Maybe what you're looking at are the results of a successful surgery.
No, if she lost her hand, it would be way bigger news than this
and
article.
And it wouldn't be a three-hour surgery, also for the broken
Good
ribs.
Good doctors.
They're fast.
A team of 30, which is 60 hands, if you think about it.
Does it say what happened?
No.
How did she injure herself?
Allie printed out just the headline.
It's a choose-your-own-adventure. It's a new segment I'm doing.
So we can just pick where we want it to
go. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Heavy yes. machinery accident then for me.
Oh, I have that she was making sausage.
Ding!
All right, I'm trying to look.
Avocado hands is my answer.
After saying that she was suffering from a severed hand and broken ribs Monday morning on Instagram, more details are coming to light about how the 43-year-old Spice Girl singer's injuries occurred. She was staying at a friend's house in London over the weekend. When she woke up and decided to go downstairs, she fell down a narrow staircase. You don't sever your hand falling
well,
down a staircase,
by the way. Well, it's a staircase made of knives.
Okay.
That was my choice in the adventure.
Her friend took her to the hospital where doctors determined she needed surgery, which she has undergone. I still think they're exaggerating with the severed hand.
They absolutely are.
By the way, every headline said severed.
Yes.
Every single
because
one.
Because they're quoting from her Instagram. That's why.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to quote on my Instagram that I have the largest rack this side of the Mississippi. Doesn't make it true.
I mean, I guess you can say whatever you want. Yeah. She lost her footing falling down the stairs. Now, I broke my ribs, as you remember, Kevin, mm-hmm. a couple of years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, breathing.
But my hand, I'm okay. But my hand was not severed, so I don't know what happened here.
Yeah.
That's a bizarre story.
That is a bizarre story.
Right. Should have led with that, huh?
I'm just, no, you do whatever you want to do. I love it.
Can we bring back Will Ferrell? Can he drive back?
I'm just happy to be any part of this.
I think he can turn back around.
No, yes. No. Yes, please.
No, please.
Yes, please.
How are we able to ruin today's show?
Right?
It has everything.
It does. It's an action-packed.
Yeah.
It's just we're a part of it. That's the bad.
Well, not for long.
That's the bad.
Two more guests.
Three today's celebrity birthdays.
Oh, no.
Beavs and Rush. Haley Steinfeld, Mos Def. That's what's happening, Dick.
Hey, Bean, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernicke here, and they're at the mics.
They were invited. We welcome them in with open arms, ladies and gentlemen. The writers and executive producers of Deadpool and so much more are back on K-Rock. Hello, gentlemen.
Our home away from home.
Yeah, but you did not tell us we would be following Will Ferrell. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Well, we got the audience warmed up for you. That's all.
He was your opener.
That's all. Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. Do you love Will as much as we love Will?
Oh, my gosh. Worship. I just got to shake his hand, and I'm not washing it.
Yeah. I missed him, but I love.
Yeah.
He's a comic genius.
He's a comic genius, but he's also the sweetest human being in the world.
He's like so gentle and sweet.
He dresses like Mr. Rogers.
For sure.
He really does.
He does. He has like a big sweater on, nice little sneakers.
Yeah.
He's really tall, too.
He is. Mm-hmm. I met him at the Kings game, and I said, hey, you should come on the show. And he said, of course. And then he did.
That's the best.
Well, that's weird.
That's very shocking, yes. But let me ask you guys this, though, because now with all of the success that you've had over the many years now, as you know, big wheels in Hollywood, you could get a meeting with anyone at this point. I'm sure you have reached out to people that you've been dying to work with to get in a room with them, right?
You know, we can't get in a room with everyone.
No.
Really?
We can't. Yeah. Deadpool's a pretty good key to open doors. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Ryan approached, I think, Brad Pitt, Celine Dion, Matt Damon, and they all said yes in terms of being in Deadpool 2. But that's coming from Ryan Reynolds, not us.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt wouldn't be so welcoming if
We've tried to get in a room with Bradley Cooper. Can't get in a room with Bradley Cooper.
Is that right?
Really?
Interesting.
Wait, that is really
you
surprising.
You want to pitch him now? We could get it to him. Just pitch him on the radio.
Are you out there, Brad?
Yeah. Not listening. Don't worry.
So Deadpool is back, and I know that this is going to be a shock to some people because everyone in the world saw Deadpool and Deadpool 2. It's one of the most successful movie franchises of all time, yet you have figured out a way to bring it back for the holidays.
We're trying to reach the two-year-olds out there.
That's a good market. It's a strong market. They've got a lot of money to spend.
Yeah. We're going six quadrant now.
All right. How does this work? Is this a new technique in Hollywood, or has this been done before?
I don't think it ever has. I can't remember it ever having been done.
No, I think this is the first.
So you guys essentially said, listen, it's an R-rated movie.
Hard R.
We go blue a lot in it. Let's get a whole new audience and make it for charity. So you just redid it to where it's going to be PG-13, but you also shot new stuff?
We did. We shot some new stuff, a fair amount of new stuff with Fred Savage. Mm-hmm. We've got this wonderful Princess Bride wraparound stuff now.
Love it.
That Fred Savage is way, 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 way funnier than you'd guess, mm-hmm. maybe. He's just awesome.
Like, he's hilarious in the trailer.
He's Jason Bateman funny. He's that funny.
Wow. He's a really good sitcom director also, right? Like he has incredible timing in his own other job, really.
Yeah.
Director and producer and anyway, any excuse for us to get back behind the cameras and do more Deadpool, we jump at.
Sure.
You know, Ryan called us up and said, hey, should we, what if we thought about a Deadpool PG-13 version? And we're like, yeah, let's do it. So, we're now going to re-release the Deadpool PG-13 version as an R-rated version at some point.
With Fred? Okay, good. Just keep it going all of next year.
Yeah.
I like it. I like the plan. What, did you have to cut out stuff that you just hated to cut out?
You'd be surprised. We did. We were very careful about it. We didn't just hand it over to the Delta Airlines censors and let them go crazy.
Sure.
Like we did it ourselves with Ryan and a wonderful editor. We got down to the minutiae, and you'd be surprised how well it works. It really, really works at PG-13.
You didn't have to get rid of that much stuff to make it PG-13.
Not as much as you'd guess.
Wow. Some swears, the blood and gore, mm-hmm. but we dialed that back, and really at its core, it's Deadpool. So.
But you guys don't do the classic turn mother effer into like brother feather. You guys don't ad lib from TBS.
We were careful about that and made it so that you don't get that experience where you're hearing freaking and
hack.
Yeah, yeah. Right. We did a very careful job of editing to get around moments like that. So.
And what's the charity aspect?
All right, we need to take a quick break.
Oh, come on.
We need to take
the lady ask a question.
Why does he hate charity?
Why does he hate women?
You love cancer and hate women.
And when we come back, we'll talk charity.
No. Okay.
Right before Christmas, a good guy in red is coming to theaters with his new sidekick, Fred.
Why am I here?
You're in a PG-13 version of Deadpool.
Filtered
through the prism of childlike innocence.
I'm a grown
and nobody
man.
Does childlike innocence like you, Fred. Nobody.
Once upon a Deadpool.
Gotta prefer Marvel movies.
We are Marvel.
Yeah, but you're, you know, Marvel licensed by Fox. It's like if the Beatles were produced by Nickelback. It's music, but it sucks.
I love how Canadian Ryan Reynolds is that he will not stand by and let somebody denigrate the great Nickelback.
Nickelback.
Yeah, he stood up to Fred on that one. Look, Nickelback is much maligned, unfairly, might mm-hmm. I add. Mm-hmm. Like, is there any real difference between Nickelback and Stained, for instance? And yet, all the jokes are about Nickelback.
Wow.
What? Listen, I make fun of Stained numerous times a week.
Oh,
on
you
this
do?
Show.
Oh, yes. Okay, well then.
Please.
All right,
I'd even give more credit to Puddle of Mud if we're in this. Please, you're talking my language now.
Red, where do you stand on Creed?
They're in the same ballpark.
Okay, all right, okay. Got it.
You went high register on it.
I mean, agreed. You did, though. Was that good? Does
no,
that mean a lie?
It means he's lying.
He's lying. Okay.
Yeah.
These are the voices of Rhett Reese and Paul Wierlich, the writers and executive producers of the new Once Upon a Deadpool, which is in theaters starting tomorrow and only through Christmas Day. Is that right?
I think it's going to extend beyond, but Fox is covering themselves by just saying through December 24th.
Okay, now just before we left, Allie was asking about the charity.
I understand there's a charity.
$1 for every ticket sold to fudge cancer, to battle cancer, yeah. Which
so
is great.
So instead of the F cancer, they right. changed it to fudge to keep
very
it
nice.
PG-13.
See,
I
there
think
you
that's
go.
Adorable. I love it.
Are you guys surprised with... This may be a dumb question. Are you guys surprised how huge Deadpool has become as a thing, as a pop culture thing?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because he's such a relatable character. Deadpool is. He's a guy who you know wakes up every morning and gets kicked in the nuts, and I think we can all relate to that.
You know? Sure. Especially me.
Yeah. I'm most excited about announcement of a Clue remake with you guys and Ryan Reynolds. And yeah. This is a movie near and dear to my heart. I know it's a big undertaking, I'm sure.
We're terrified.
I would assume. So I was wondering what you're doing to get over that fear, because that's a big, big
well,
movie.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it's going to fall on the broad, capable shoulders of Ryan Reynolds. I mean, Tim Curry's role is pretty indelible, but we think Ryan... in a very similar role as our master of ceremonies is will hopefully carry the day.
And what we're doing with the daunting task is we're procrastinating.
Yes. Yes.
We're not writing it.
Yes.
Because everyone has to have
paralyzed.
Casting ideas for you. I
oh,
mean,
yes.
It's got to be one of those. I mean, everyone who loves it loves it.
I'm shocked how many people came out of the woodwork saying
yeah.
it's their favorite movie. Yeah. Like, it's very, it's
I'm
crazy.
Shocked by that as well.
Oh, it's a huge, huge movie. Yeah, Jillian Bell always talks about wanting to be in it. There's people who, it's like their dream role.
It's going to be easy to cast for that mm-hmm. reason.
Yeah.
But wasn't the original Clue movie was, am I wrong, like 30 years ago or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. 85, I yeah. want to say, 86, something like
and
that.
And a cult classic, I guess
big
it sounds
time.
Like you're saying.
Yeah, big yeah. following. Everyone, it's my favorite.
Tim Curry, Eileen Brennan.
Leslie Ann Warren.
Martin Mull.
Michael McKean.
Michael McKean.
I mean.
Do you
wow.
have a drop dead date by which you have to actually start working on this project?
We are working on it, actually.
Oh, you are, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the hope is to turn it in early in the new year and go from there, so we'll see.
Does anyone wow. play the board game anymore?
I played it just recently because I wanted to kind of refresh, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yeah. I always wind up with Colonel Mustard in the library. Right?
What?
Holding your arms like
what
that.
What's happening?
Like a real
what are you talking
creepy.
About right now?
What are you two doing in there?
Right?
You know, just hanging out.
All right, so Clue is one of the plates that you're spinning. You are also filming Zombieland 2 as well?
End
up.
Of January, yeah.
End of
in
January.
January.
You got that
busy.
Going on.
Yeah.
All the originals are back.
Love
wow.
it.
Which is great.
We
yes.
just sat with the cast, 2 weeks ago? We went through a table read. It was so fun to get them back in a room and the words coming out of their mouth. It was amazing.
I'm stunned how many different projects you have going on at one time.
Haven't even gotten into Wayne.
And now we're going to talk about Wayne, yeah. How do you have time to do anything else on top of those projects?
Well, we don't, but it's work. It's like a nervous breakdown with a paycheck. Wayne comes out in January. We're in love with this show, YouTube Premium. It's just a delightful show, and we really love it. We're not just saying that for you guys.
It's Charles Bronson as if he were 16 years old.
Mm-hmm. It's a 16-year-old Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
It looks strong, and it comes out when?
January 16th.
Good God, January. YouTube,
yeah, busy month for you guys. Yeah. And you have that and Cobra Kai, and we had Adam Pally on the other day. He's got Champagne Ill on YouTube, so it'd be good for the holidays. Mm-hmm. You get a free month trial of YouTube Premium, right?
Watch it up.
Watch there all these things at one time.
Is there any classic project or something that you, with the success that you have behind you, have put your heads together and said, all right, we're the ones who are going to bring back fill in the blank, The Great Gatsby, or whatever it is, the movie you've always wanted to make.
The Great Gatsby. Great Gatsby's first on your list.
It's a great choice.
Deadpool, Clue,
no,
Great
Gatsby. I think we're more afraid of those kinds of things than anything. You hate to be the one to screw something up. I mean, we're in talks to possibly do Pirates of the Caribbean, and we're nervous there because there's a lot of people who adore Pirates of the Caribbean.
Sure.
I think those are the ones that are the most daunting as opposed to the most attractive.
Do you have problems? Like, we talked to Will Ferrell, and he said pretty much every movie of his career, he got told no from 15 different people.
Yeah. No is a popular word.
You don't just sit
Hollywood,
on a throne now, and they just come in and pitch stuff their heads if you don't like it?
Yeah. Deadpool took 6 or 7 years to make. Zombieland 2 has been 10 years. It'll be 10 years
between
the two movies.
10 years?
Yeah.
So you can imagine, it's just pushing boulders up hills and having them roll back down on top of
that. Just seems so absurd because you can see on any weekend a horrible movie in the theater.
It's interesting. I heard a quote which was, people in Hollywood lose their jobs for saying yes, not for saying no, which I think is a really interesting.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah. You're putting yourself on the line, I
exactly.
guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. Are you guys able to go to a movie as a fan and just enjoy it without picking it apart as writers and producers?
It's funny. I don't go to movies very often because of that. It feels like work to me.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What was the last movie you saw? Do you know?
Last movie
that wasn't
I
yours.
Saw.
Free Solo for me, was amazing. That's
oh
the best
wow!
Movie.
Really?
Yeah.
That gotta was, see it. Yeah.
I think
I would vomit if I saw that.
Oh my gosh! I almost did.
Seriously?
Really? I was curling up into a fetal position in my chair.
That's terrifying.
Wow. It sounds great.
And my teenage daughter, when we watched Free Solo, said her one word review was boring. I said, well, that's right. Interesting.
What boring. Does it take to get your adrenaline flowing, girl?
I wasn't expecting that.
Boring. Yeah, on opposite day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Rhett Reese and Paul Werner here. We're talking about, among other things, again, we should put in the plug for Once Upon a Deadpool. So it's in theaters starting tomorrow through at least the holidays with some of the money going to charity. And God bless Ryan Reynolds. I can't think of anyone who is more intertwined with his character than Ryan Reynolds is with Deadpool. Like, I feel like there wouldn't be a Deadpool without Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, he is Deadpool. It's hard to distinguish.
It's not just an actor getting a paycheck. I mean, no. This is a guy who lives and breathes it, it seems
and
like.
And he like put everything... Ryan Reynolds now, huge Hollywood star, big deal. But before Deadpool, kind of was in a middle ground. Like, he wasn't necessarily an A-list thing. Puts all of his energy into getting this Deadpool made because he believed in it. And now look.
It takes advantage of every one of his talents. And he is the biggest genius we've ever worked with in Hollywood.
Wow.
He really is,
wow.
in every way. I mean, not just as an actor... As a comedian, as a physical comedian, as a writer, he's just a brilliant human being.
But so ugly.
Yeah, it's good that he's so gross.
Yeah,
right.
Gross.
Has that ugly wife and everything.
Everything. Something finally's got to come up. Ryan
Things
Reynolds
are not working out for him.
No.
Well, guys, congratulations on the Once Upon a Time. It sounds
Once Upon a Deadpool, I should say.
The Once Upon a Time version of Deadpool. It sounds great, you guys.
We very much appreciate it.
Very excited to see
you. We're always thrilled to come on.
And I want to check in with you February 1st to see if you survived January.
Yeah. Well, and guess what? My wife is having a baby in January, too.
Is it yours?
We'll see.
He said my wife is having a baby.
It was just my question.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we'll see what color the baby turns out to be, and we'll know.
I'm not sure that's politically correct.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Our old friend Travis Barker, you guys. As I understand it, yesterday, traffic turned him around. Couldn't make it on time.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So he's doing a redo today, and he'll be joining us in studio coming up just after 9 a.m. talking about his health, about transplants, about Blink 182, about
he had
the music.
Transplant.
No.
Wow.
No. About, that's why he missed so many dates.
That's why?
Yeah.
We finally found out.
He's coming in here with Mel B's severed hands.
I don't think any of that's true.
And
that's
most
the best
important.
Band name.
And most importantly, about his music festival, which is happening in March, which is a tattoo convention, a car show, and a great music festival with a phenomenal lineup this time around. So all of that with Travis straight ahead. First, Ali's got what's happening here on this Tuesday.
Hey, guys, want to go see George Lopez, The Wall Tour? It's happening at Microsoft Theater on December 29th. Let's take the first three callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. And you are going to get a pair of tickets to see George Lopez, The Wall Tour at the Microsoft Theater on December 29th. Good luck to you out there.
Call now.
Guys and gals. You guys, we had Will Ferrell in earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Will times?
Yeah, I do.
Unbelievable. We also found out earlier in the morning that Cord Hosenbeck and Tish Cadogan have not only returned from covering the royal wedding abroad, but they are set to welcome the new year with a bang. If you don't know who Cord Hosenbeck is, what they do. He's a health and wellness expert. A lot of people say he looks like Will Ferrell because he is Will Ferrell. If you don't know who Tish Cadogan is, she's a relationship expert and former Miss Arizona. Looks a lot like Molly Shannon because it's Molly Shannon. They are returning to host Funny or Die's 2019 Rose Parade coverage on January 1st, starting at 8 a.m. Tim Meadows, also there to return to cover the event. If you haven't seen it, it's basically the Rose Parade complete with the most nonsense ever. Like the anchors that would usually be like, oh, look at this float coming up. They do that times 100.
Yes.
And it is.
And they know nothing.
No.
They know nothing about the floats, about the marching bands.
Throughout the whole show, they have jokes that keep returning.
They have no idea what horses do, really.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So if you want to watch that, it will be not only on Funny or Die's website, but it'll be on Twitch. And after the initial airing, it will be available for viewing on demand as well.
Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
All right. Creepy. No problem. So TBS is developing Strange Times. It's based on former Blink-182 guitarist Tom DeLonge's graphic novel and book series. They're going to make an adult animated show. And Tom DeLonge is set to executive produce. It's about five dirty teenage skateboarders who solve paranormal mysteries while being chased by deep state government agents.
I'm sorry, I watched it, but I fell asleep.
It hasn't come out yet. It is just in development.
I'm more interested in something developed on his personal journals. Do you know what I mean? Like
just
what he writes
through.
About when he's alone.
Yeah.
I don't want to read that. I don't know.
You don't want to see this?
Not a script. I'd like to see his real stuff.
That's what
too.
I mean. I'd like to see
the
documentary.
Because he's got inside sources in the government and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we could ever see that because then they'd have to kill us, right?
Oh, well, he's surviving somehow.
Well, because he's on the inside track, so he's
you know
got
what
it
did
from
happen,
all
though,
sides.
To make this very fast, they did find emails when they like dumped all those emails out, the Hillary emails.
Mm-hmm.
There were
mm-hmm.
emails from Tom DeLonge to the government about aliens, but none back. That's real.
Really?
Yeah, that is real.
Why?
I don't know. I guess
so. He mailed them, but
we never saw any emails back. Yeah, but it is funny that he, in his free time, is emailing the government.
Yeah.
To tell them about aliens, and now he gets now he gets a TV show.
Yeah.
Yikes! Kind of dig it, you guys. I'm not.
Hey
lie.
Now.
Mm-hmm. Hey now, you guys. So Kevin Hart stepped down. Not going to host the Oscars. All this talk about who's going to do it, who's not, who's already been asked. And it appears that a lot of people are thinking no one's going to host it. They're just going to bring in a bunch of celebs, do some introductions, that type of thing, and kind of keep the show going like that.
That little small talk that they do between each other is always so entertaining.
Do you
and
not
by that,
believe?
I mean horrible.
We call it patter in
patter.
The business.
It's horrible.
Okay. Well, how about this insider? This is the quote. A bunch of huge celebs, something SNL style, and buzzy people to throw to commercial.
Ugh.
Buzzy people to throw to commercial? Who wrote that?
An intern at the Oscars?
Or a 95-year-old producer who's still working on it from the 20s.
Getting on some real buzzy people, see?
When we had Faye Ray on, she was buzzy as hell.
It's just weird. It is just weird. Really awful situation over at the show Power, the one on Stars. Mm-hmm. They had to shut down production after a car crash at the Brooklyn shooting location. It killed a longtime crew member.
Oh, no.
He was setting up cones, and a co-worker ran into him. Unbelievable. Really bad situation. So, out of respect for the family of Pedro Jimenez, who's 63, they're taking some time, allowing the cast to grieve and lay him to rest. So, very, very sad situation.
Yeah. And for the guy that hit him, especially.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not especially, but I'm sorry.
I don't think it's as bad for him as the guy he hit.
No, but I'm saying it's a tough thing for him to handle for the rest of his life as well.
Yeah.
But still two in the one and two.
Correct.
Still two is the guy who drove. One is the guy who got hit. Yeah. Just want to reiterate that.
You're all from hell today. Every single one of you. That's all I'm going to say. Listen to the whole show. It's been a day. It's been a real day. Hey, happy birthday, Haley Steinfeld. Huh? Bumblebee, can't wait.
Right.
Who's with me?
Right, good reviews.
Me.
Excellent. Yeah. And rapper Mos Def. And that's what's happening.
It's very rare that we have a guest who writes his own intro, but here's what he said on Twitter.
Oh, right.
Please introduce me as rock's most handsome drummer and coolest human, ladies and gentlemen. Travis Barker is here. The world famous K-Rock.
I just figured we'd switch it up.
Sure, sure. I like it.
Why not?
Travis, it sounds like some drama yesterday. You trying to make it in here to the Kevin and Bean show. What happened?
Yeah, apparently there was rock slides on Topanga. So I got I was maybe 15 minutes from here. I was getting to PCH,
mm-hmm.
and they had the road blocked off. So I offered the guys, $100.
You got out of your car and said, here's $100.
Yeah.
Let me through.
You please let me through? I'm like, going to be super late, but obviously they're just like, oh, what do you have going on? It's not that big of a deal. Little did they know I was on my way to K-Rock. But I tried offering them $100 just to let me through because I was 15 minutes. And then, Topanga, you got to turn all the way around and go back.
Yeah, that's super frustrating.
To the 101. So, yeah, my morning was a little frustrating.
Oh,
I felt bad.
Sorry about that.
But it was awesome when I got home and I turned on the news and it was actually on the news. So you guys knew I just wasn't pulling some, rock star.
You've never pulled some rock star anything.
No,
I would have never thought
you were
going
to. I was telling a friend, I was like, I did pull some rock star stuff back in the day where I got too high and I couldn't leave the house. So I had to come
correct. I was at your house for one of those days.
Yeah. Proof's always nice.
Well, we appreciate you making it in today. We have so much to talk to you about. Obviously, the music announcement was yesterday. We want to get to that in a minute. But who's your friend Chewy here? What's going on here, Travis?
So this is kind of my crew I travel everywhere with. I bring Chewy to as many places as I can because he's my favorite tattoo artist.
Okay. And just in case something breaks out, you need it?
Yeah, and I figured we're talking about music, tattoos and music, so...
Sure.
And I didn't think anyone's ever been tattooed on the air while talking to you guys.
I think that's true.
I think so either.
Yeah, I'm going to get a
tribute. What's he going to be doing?
I'm going to get a tribute for Ja, XXXTentacion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
you worked on the record.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I figure I'd get a tribute.
While we're talking.
Yeah.
All right.
Where are you putting it? It looks like on your wrist?
So I'm running out of room, you guys.
Yeah, you are.
I know that. I just put tattoos on top of tattoos on top of tattoos. That's kind of what happened.
How's your taint?
My what?
Oh, my God.
Why would you... What kind of question is that?
Because he's running out of...
How's your taint?
He's running out of room. In between your crotch and your butt.
I don't think I would... I don't want Chewy having to... Right there,
Oh, he's looking out for you, Chewy.
No, but he does do body suits where you do the entire body. You do...
Is that right?
The butt, everything, yeah. But...
That was not. Look, we're having a good time, and I don't want to bring everything down here. But that it must be so hard for you, Travis, with the loss you've experienced in your life, to lose somebody like Tentacion, who was so talented.
Oh yeah, I'm freaked out by everyone around me.
Yeah, just, and Mac Miller too.
Yeah, it's crazy, and I always feel like X had so much good energy, and he made such classic albums. I feel
absolutely.
Like unfortunately, those are always the ones to go. So all my friends that make great music, I'm always in fear they're going to leave me. But
you got to hang out with crappier musicians, dude.
But I don't want to do that either. No, he was special, though, man. He was special to me and just a special artist.
If you don't mind recapping your health for this year, because we all followed it sort of through Instagram and through other things, and we would hear this and hear that. Can you give us just sort of a recap of your physical year?
Yeah, so this was... my rough kind of 3 or 4 months was I went for a routine MRI where they do contrast. So they put an IV in you because they need better photographs, better pictures.
Right.
And I go and I'm like the last patient of the night, and the nurse there that has to do my IV, you know, tells me, oh man, I'm, you know, whatever, I'm a big fan. You know, I'm the only one here. I usually don't draw blood or put the IV in.
But, oh, great.
You know, today's an exception, but, you know, just bear with me. So he starts trying to find my vein. It doesn't work out so well. And he's probably poked me like 12, 13 times. And he's like, you know, I'm gonna numb you so you don't feel me fishing around, because this is, you know, for some reason I'm having trouble.
And he said, why didn't you think of that 11 times ago?
Yeah, right. So 11 or 12 times go by, and wow. I'm with one of my best friends, Cheese, and I text him. I was like, yo, this guy's nervous or, you know, something. I'm about to, you know, just dip out because I don't think, you know, he's going to ever find this vein. So at one point, he's probably like stuck my left arm like 20, 30 times, and then he sets the needle down, and he goes and asks anyone else in
the
spot. You
have so much more patience than I do.
Yeah, he's like, anyone else help me here? And all that's there is a janitor. And the janitor's like, nah,
I'll give
man.
A shot.
Yeah.
Oh,
so long story short, he comes back in, hits my other arm another 20, 30 times, finally finds a vein in my hand. And I'm just like, you know, the guy's super cool. I'm trying to bear with him, and he's looking at me going, you have so many tattoos.
I was going to ask, is it harder to find your veins because of the tattoos?
No. If anything, they're like, oh, this is such a piece of cake for you. You don't feel a thing because you're so, you know, you got so much tattoos.
Right.
So I'm a champ. I sit through it. I end up getting the MRI. The next day, I'm in rehearsals, and my hands and arms feel weird, but I don't really put two and two together.
You think maybe it's just because he stuck you so many times?
No, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was, because
okay.
I was numb.
Okay.
For most of him fishing around, so I didn't really even get what happened yet. And then fast forward, we're at the Palms. We're playing our residencies, and in the middle of the show, my right arm starts puffing up. And I get all these bumps, and it's, like, really stiff. And it's burning. So
wow.
Oh, I'm kind of tripping, but I finished the show. But I look at my tech. I look at Daniel. I go, so, yeah, something's wrong. Something's really wrong with my right hand. And then I finish playing the show. I see a UFC doctor because the Petito brothers that own the Palms used to own the UFC. So they have a doctor come late night. And he's like, unless you are lying to me and you're not admitting to hitting something, you have like a really bad infection in your arm
and
possibly clots. So you should chill. So of course I play one more show the next day
because
I'm there and everyone's looking at me kind of going like, well, I don't get Trav, what's wrong? And I don't even...
It was swollen for that whole second show?
Oh, my arm was a balloon.
Wow.
And I don't know what's wrong, so I can't tell the guys, hey, this is really severe, you guys, I need to chill. I have no idea what's going on. The next day, I see the doctor after my next show, and he said, what happened over the last week? Go through everything. And then I said, well, on Tuesday, I had this MRI, and this guy stuck me a bunch of times. That's the only thing I could think of. He's like, how many times? I said, probably 40, 50 times. Ugh. And he's like, how many times did he change the needle? I said, never. He said, well, I guarantee you probably have a staph infection and blood clots. Get to the hospital ASAP. So
you
I go to
never
the hospital.
Want to hear get to God. The hospital ASAP.
Yeah, so I go and I get an ultrasound at the hospital, and then they're asking me, do you have your car here? And I said, yeah. They're like, okay, you can't drive anywhere. We're going to admit you. You have blood clots in your like deep veins, which can go to your heart or your lungs at any point, and you have severe staph infection. We need to put you on IV. So then it led to me staying at the hospital for almost a week. And just waiting, and then like blood clots aren't something they just clear out.
Right.
Took 2 months, and I played
you
the rest
of the
shows. You
had to be going crazy during those 2 months.
Well, I'm back going crazy because they're back.
Oh,
so
no.
Yeah,
oh,
you
no.
guys, yeah, like earlier this week, I started feeling a weird pain in my right arm, and I guess I should have really, really, I guess, gone every week to get ultrasounds to see if they were still there.
Just to make sure.
Yeah, and I noticed like a weird pain, and I went back and I have clots in my right arm again.
Oh, no.
Travis, what else can they do besides the blood thinners? I mean, that's the only thing I know about for blood clots.
Yeah, I'm on what's called Xarelto. It's like a blood thinner.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, you know, thins your blood a little bit, hopefully to let the clots pass. So I let them pass, but they said because my arms endured so much damage from being stuck, I still have kind of what's called scarring, and they're not totally, you know, repaired yet. So I'm prone to clots again.
In between staying in the hospital for a week, you went back and played at the Palms some more.
Well, I was out for 2 months. I didn't do anything.
Right, I know.
I sat at home and I DJed. I mixed records. I produced a bunch of rap records and just hung out with my kids. I couldn't work out. Couldn't play, you know, really play the drums. So I finished all of my
And those of you that know
Palms.
Travis know he plays the drums every,
I was
every single day.
Yeah.
That's the longest you've ever done in your whole life,
conditioned.
I bet.
And before every show, I remember from seeing you guys on tour, you sit for like an hour or so and just work on your wrists over. Like, you're very conditioned for a drummer.
Yeah, I like to go in there and not have to think about anything, just enjoy myself. It's kind of like being in a fight, and you've done all your sparring, you've done all your working out, so when you go in to your fight, it's just
But to
whatever,
us,
you know?
To us, it seems like you could have stopped doing that when you were 15 and you would not have to think about it.
That's what my dad always says. It's not like that. Yeah, I don't know. Not for where I want to be, but...
So the pain is back in your arm.
Yeah, and I have a couple clots in my right arm again.
And then, so what's that?
So I just take Xarelto. I'm fortunate. I don't have any shows the rest of the year where I'm playing drums. I have a couple DJ, you know, shows where I'm just DJing. So I just have to listen to the universe and... respect
the universe has slapped the crap out of you this year.
Yeah.
Wow. Travis, don't answer this if you can't, but I mean, I feel like you have some sort of legal recourse against this guy who used you as a human pincushion. It sounds like he's responsible for what you're going through.
Yeah, I mean, you never go to the doctors thinking anything like this is going to happen.
Of course.
And I don't think it was intentional, obviously.
He was a fan, did you say?
Yeah. But come to find out, he wasn't an anesthesiologist. He wasn't
a phlebotomist.
Administered to do any of that.
He shouldn't
he was
have
just
been.
A nurse, yeah.
Wow.
So I think he was trying to do everything he could, but unfortunately it put me out for almost 3.5-4 months,
man.
You know?
Wow. Dude, I'm so brutal. Sorry.
And then like 2 weeks later I get hit by a school bus.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
This year has been incredible.
Honestly, I really that saying, like, listen to the universe, I truly did. I just said, you know what? I'm just supposed to chill. I'm not trying to go anywhere quick. You know what I mean? Just
chilling is the opposite of what you like to do. Yeah.
I do like that we just spent 2 seconds on getting hit by a school bus.
Yes. That would be the worst thing that would happen to most people, right?
Yeah. After that, I just kind of threw my hands in there. I
what's
said, hey, man, I don't know what's happening.
It is a miracle. By the way, this is Travis, the guy who tried to pay a dude to let him go down a road with the rock slide yesterday.
You're not listening to Mother Earth.
I have 9 lives. I think I've used 2 or 3. So.
It is a miracle that Travis Barker is here. A quick break. We'll come back. We'll get into all the details of music, which looks like another fantastic festival coming in March to the OC Fair and Event Center in Costa Mesa. How's the tattoo looking? Is it coming along, Chewy? Looking good, you guys?
Yeah.
Chewy, is it coming along? Tattoo's coming along?
Yeah.
He can't hear you, B.
He said, yeah, looks good. I got a bad feeling about this.
It is 9:39.
Travis Barker's here. The noise you hear in the background is his friend Chewy giving him a new tattoo on his wrist while we're live on the air here on K-Rock.
Very familiar noise.
Yes.
Travis, yes, it is to you, Ellie. Travis was last in studio with us a few months ago with Feldy for the Back to the Beach Fest. Now he's here because it is Musink time.
Yes.
Is this the third year, I want to say, Travis? Fourth?
What? Oh, coming and talking to you guys?
No, for Musink.
This is the 12th.
Musink.
No.
Yeah. It's pretty dope, you know. All of the music tattoo festivals are gone. It's just us.
Yeah. Just yours now.
And
wow.
We're throwing elbows. We're going strong.
Do you spend a lot of your year working hard to try to get this lineup together? Is that a lot of what you do, making calls to friends going, hey, do my show?
Yeah. Pretty much a couple months ago.
Now you're
an
executive.
Yeah, it starts a couple months ago. But I keep it real. I try to stay away from that side of things. I just, you know, like this year, you know, I'm so stoked we have Limp Bizkit headlining one of the days. And I've known Fred for years and we've been friends. And I've worked on Wes's side project. So it's really keeping it in the family with friends and, you know, Suicidal, like Mike Muir. I grew up on Suicidal.
Same,
Oh, man, I used to wear a hat with the bill flipped up and said, you know, Suicidal. And I grew up loving all their music. So to have him, and we collaborated last year. I did something with them for like one of their, like an, what was it? It was like an exclusive track on one of their albums or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I love them. So having bands like that and TSOL.
Dead Kennedys.
Are you kidding me?
Voodoo glow skulls, fear. Anti-flag, sick of it all, hate breed, bleeding through.
Yeah, voodoo, I mean, you know, like they were like legends in Riverside where I grew up. So, yeah, it is a little bit about just reaching out to friends and making sure we have a cool lineup more so than, you know, this big corporate machine calling people and right. sending now, offers.
I don't want this to come across the wrong way because I'm really curious. You are more generous of your assessment of Limp Bizkit than a lot of people are, and I sense that you think that's probably unfair to them. Like a lot of people would go, oh, they're not a thing anymore, but obviously they still have a lot of fans out there who love what they do.
Limp is so much a thing still. Like they still are playing huge festivals and doing so much, and I know they are back in the studio, and that band is so focused. And
is that right?
They're going to do something. Yeah, I feel like their music aged well. I feel like Korn's music aged well in that genre. I feel like Deftones aged well. Of course, Rage. I wish they were still around, but I don't doubt that they're going to come back strong with an amazing album.
That's
like
great.
I heard a lot of Wes's solo stuff, and it was really, really good.
Tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Available at musicfest.com. $79 weekend tickets available through the end of the year, by the
so
way.
So cheap.
Doesn't that seem ridiculously
yeah,
cheap?
For how much you're getting.
That's a bad choice on your part.
Yeah.
Mr. Executive.
We've never announced this early either, like before Christmas. We usually, it's like last minute, but as years go on and it's our 12th year, we're getting better and better where we're actually preparing and booking the festival months in advance. So, yeah, I mean, for the amount of talent that's there, like, I wish I could say all the other bands, but there's, like, radius clauses, like, for who's headlining Sunday. You know, Sunday's already an awesome day, but
right.
when we announce the headliner, it'll even be crazier.
And more to be announced.
By the
right.
way, you can guess by looking at the lineup, basically, the yeah. types of bands it's going
to
be.
Yeah, right. And on the Limp day, like, we're announcing someone, a band very special to me that I'm very involved with that I can't wait to announce.
You're involved with every band yeah. that exists.
That could be literally anyone.
Yeah.
That could be.
But for the amount of, like, tattoo artists that are there, like, you have, like, Chewy Quintanar.
Yeah,
I'm
a tattoo fanatic.
Yeah.
And just looking at this alone, I'm thinking Nico Hurtado is amazing. If
yeah.
you don't follow him on Instagram, you'll be shocked to see what he's doing with tattoos.
Yeah.
Freddie's, I have tattoos from Freddie. It's amazing. Norm. Robert Atkinson. There's names here, and I'm sure this is just the beginning list of the participating artists.
Yeah, Corey Miller. The fact that you can go in like someone like Chewy or Corey or mm-hmm. Freddie Negrete that has, you know, appointments booked for a year in advance, and you might catch them at the show and get something. You're so lucky.
Yeah, I don't even think you can get a Nico appointment.
That's, no.
You have to just walk in.
Jensen, no. Don't let Chewy walk out the door today without you getting a little something extra while he's here.
Maybe I'll get a tattoo honoring Chewy doing the XXX
yes,
tattoo
yes.
on Travis just to make it
wow.
full circle.
Inception.
Travis, what are you doing with
this guy's
again?
So fast, he's already done.
He's already done. Yeah, I know. That's amazing.
Nuts.
Again, yeah. by the way, tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. All ages show, by the way. Kids 7 and under get free. It's not only music. It's not only tattoos. You got the car show back again this year, too.
Yeah, we have Low and Show car show. So
fantastic.
Some of like the illest cars ever. And that's always fun. Along with curating the bands, curating the cars is always
it's always
interesting because it's the opposite. You have all of your friends going, can I bring my car? Can I bring my car? But, you know, we usually do it with Bobby Tribal from San Diego, mm-hmm. who's been a dear friend of mine for, you know, a couple decades now. So we really put a lot of thought of, you know, what cars go there and what car clubs. There's a lot of politics.
Beautiful weekend.
This really does seem like it's all Travis Barker.
Yeah.
It really does.
We all want a festival of our brand, don't we?
It's everything I love.
That's what it seems
like. It's everything I love.
Yeah.
Actually, years ago, Chewy and Franco hit me up and said, yo, Muzink really wants you to be a part of this. And it was something I didn't really have to think about. It was a real
like,
easy decision.
Okay.
Yes, I love all these things, and I love the tattoo community, and I just like seeing it grow. I think this year we're going to do, like, worst face tattoo. Or, you know, we're going to open the competition
like
a
it.
Little bit more.
It's the weekend
it.
Of March 8th through the 10th, 2019, at the OC Fair and Event Center in Costa Mesa. All right, let's deal with Allie right now before we say goodbye to Travis. Allie, the last time you saw Travis was when?
There were a couple of them last time I saw him. Yeah,
she's in bad shape.
Here's the thing. You are correct.
And he's went on tour with everyone.
But do you know why it got to that level? Because I said to Kevin, this all happened at Weenie Roast. I said, hey, Kevin, you cool interviewing Blink-182 or I'm going to, you know, keep drinking with my friends? And your response?
I said, I got it, but I'd like you to be there as well, but keep drinking. She asked me if she should keep drinking, so I said yes.
Of course you did. That's
Wait, did
the right
you smoke
answer.
A little bit too or no?
I don't think so.
Oh, that's good.
She doesn't remember much.
She's not sure. I remember there was a, it was a tour with Cypress and No Doubt.
Yes.
And it was the last day of Cypress being on there. And I used to smoke a gang of weed around that time, but never before shows. And it's the last show, and B-Real walks in. He's like, hey, we got to smoke. And I said, I don't smoke before shows. He's like, yeah, but it's our last show. We're leaving. So we do a shot, and we smoke. And it was the longest show of my life. Tom, I made him. I said, you know, you can't be a sissy. You got to smoke and drink, you know.
If we're all doing it.
A tradition. You know, it's Cypress's last day. And he turned around and looked at me, and he was just playing to me, and he's like, I want to go. And I felt just like that. It lasted so long.
I wanted to go home when they replayed my question that was, I feel like it was an 8-minute question.
Was it a taint question? Or
you? No.
It was not.
I wish.
I have it for you if you'd like to hear it. This is,
yes,
this
let me hear
is
this.
Her interviewing you and your friends in Blink at Weenie.
And now, a moment with Allie.
But also, you guys are posting videos like, oh, we're rehearsing for the Weenie Roast. And we're like, it's a goddamn Weenie Roast. Mm-hmm. You guys are Blink 182. What are you doing? Like, but then it occurred to us, oh, I guess bands really rehearse for different festivals and different situations, which we just thought, okay, you do the same old thing every time.
That was a moment with Al.
That was awesome.
In retrospect,
I'm not sure any of you were there.
No. I don't even think we got a chance to answer the question.
Because there was no question.
No, there's no question at the end of that. Not at all. Oh,
that was awesome.
Apologies.
Well, we knew that you guys would appreciate that. If anyone. Travis, you're the best. We love having you in. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, guys. I'm glad I made it today, and
same.
I apologize for my absence yesterday.
I mean, I'm glad that they didn't let your car through for that.
Yes,
I
feel
too.
Like I would have got it.
Yeah.
I was in a fast car yesterday. I could have.
No. Like an action movie?
Yeah.
I don't think we're allowed that right now.
No, I'm sorry.
We should put you in a bubble.
We're put
your
bubble wrap is what we're going
to
do.
Yes, please be bubble wrapped, and please take your own advice and listen to what the universe is telling you and stay safe, my friend. All right?
I will. You too.
Tickets go on sale Friday at 10.
Yes.
Happy holidays, Travis.
Yeah, happy holidays, you guys.
Thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
Yes,
SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today here on K-Rock at 5 p.m. We'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, Kevin. Sorry.
Yes, what?
My bad. We have tickets for Musink to give away.
Oh.
Totally forgot. We were so busy wrapping it down with Travis. We totally forgot. We actually have 3-day passes to give away to the 12th annual Musink at the OC Fair and Event Center, March 8th through the 10th. Travis, give me a number between 1 and 100.
Do I have to say it right now?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to go.
No, next
that wasn't a hard
in.
Question,
next time
Travis.
I come in. I know. That was like, I think she just rubbed up on me.
He just pointed at me like that was my alley.
He did.
Okay. 98.
Okay. Excellent. So callers number 98 through 103, you win tickets. Phone screeners are loving you right now, Travis.
Yes.
To the 12th annual music. Okay. Now we're done.
Thank you.